I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're a gay.
And his NB.
Episode number 100. I, like, literally on the way up to record this podcast, we were like, can you believe 100 episodes? It's crazy.
It's wild.
Thank you all so much, by the way, for who have been listening to us throughout this 100th episode experiment, so to speak, with a gay and his NB. It's been an amazing time. We've had so much fun doing this podcast, and just, you know, it's something that we never thought we could do, but it's great that we've, you know, curated a little audience that loves to talk about the same things we love to.
Yeah, it's been pretty great. It's going to continue to be great. You know, I was looking at some of the metrics on our podcast host website, whatever thing, place, whatever. And I was like, okay, so we've had like almost 8,000 episode downloads.
That's really cool. For someone that's so new to us, and we have a small
but dedicated following.
Yes, and we really appreciate it and love it. And so, like, you know, for everyone that's been joining us, everyone that's commented on, you know, one of our videos or on, you know, social media, anyone who's left a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, we're so thankful and so grateful. It's more than we could have ever expected. So, yeah, thank you guys. We're so happy. Now, we kind of started a little bit, but as we always do, before we get into this juicy, juicy stuff that we're going to be talking about, we have a few housekeeping nuts to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you're listening, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or one of the other lovely podcast platforms out there, we would love for you to leave us a rating and a review. You know, it's been 100 episodes. We've done some good things. We've probably messed up here or there. We'd like to hear that from you, and we want to know what you want to hear from us in the future. So if you could leave that rating and review, that gives us a great indication for that, and we will be able to move forward together.
You can also follow us across social media, all at A Gay and His NB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, where we're posting new content every day, including clips from the podcast and some of our instant thoughts about the things that we're watching. If you want to give your thoughts, if you want to communicate with us, that's a great place to do it. And like I mentioned, it's across social media, all at A Gay and His NB.
And if you'd like to support us out in the real world, you know, we do have a merch store that is agayandhisnb.threadless.com. We have like 9 or 10 designs on there. You can get them on t-shirts, hoodies, whatever you want that they've got. We've got a design for it. And we also have 3 Pride-specific designs. We're coming up on Pride Month here in about a month and a half. So if you want to walk into June, you know, repping your favorite Bravo podcast, you can do that by purchasing some merch over there at agayandhisnb.threadless.com.
And last but not least, if you have a question for us that you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that to us across the social media platforms that I mentioned or at agayandhisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure in it to leave your name, leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Babe, what do we have in store on this historic 100th episode of A Gay and His NB?
Well, this episode is all things Vanderpump.
It is a Vanderpumpy day.
Vanderpumpy day, absolutely. We're going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules, and it's got only 3 people on it, and that's Ariana, Katie, and Allie, and nobody else exists, right?
Nope.
That's it? It's
no.
Just those 3. So we're just going to have a nice, lovely time with these 3 women who love each other. We're also going to be talking about The Valley, which is where old Vanderpump favorites go to die and go to ruin their marriages, apparently. Lots going on in this episode. I was left feeling a certain way, and I will talk about it when we get there. But before we get there, before we get to either of those shows, we got to talk Vanderpump Villa.
Vanderpump Villa, the newest episode out on Hulu. I'm a little more frustrated this episode, honestly. Guys, Merlin, I don't think Lisa's running a tip-top shop.
I think maybe she has a history of running shoddy establishments.
It's almost like she lets people do whatever the hell they want all the time. It was again particularly bad this episode. Like, it was one of the things where it's just like no one's gonna say anything.
No. Well, it's just Okay. So the episode starts off with finishing off the last end of what happened with Harlan's group, right?
So it's Harlan's like the after party sort of thing for Harlan's event, and everyone's dancing and stuff like that. Eric, the general manager, goes up to the bar and says to Telly, hey, can I do a shot, please? And Telly goes, Eric, you're the manager. If you need a shot, just pour it yourself. Because Telly's already been told, don't let anyone behind the bar. Don't like, and also employees can't drink on work hours.
If you want to do it, I'm having no part of it.
Right. So, period. Eric says, fine then. And then again, starts free pouring fucking tequila into his mouth. And it's just like, geez, what do we, okay. All right. And then Eric in his confessional is talking about my mission. And okay, we didn't really talk when we were talking about Vanderpump Villa. Eric's confessionals are
serial killer vibes.
He says a comment later, which I'm like, oh, this could be like a cult leader, right? This really could. And I know we kind of said that with Tom Sandoval as well. This is who Tom Sandoval thinks he is. Like,
yes.
He really does. Cause he is just like in a zone. He goes, my mission is to impress Lisa Vanderpump and prove that I'm doing my job as the chateau manager. And then we cut to Eric with Harlan, puts Harlan like the throne that she, you know, her throne, and goes, sit down, Harlan. I got a surprise for fucking you. And then rips his shirt off, starts giving her like a lap dance. And it's doing like the whole, like, he has like the, like, you know, the over aggressive, like almost worm, like grinding thing. And here's like, it's one of those things where it's like Harlan's smiling, everyone's enjoying themselves, everyone thinks it's great, but it's also like, here's my thing. I would love to know, anyone who is on the inside of producing this show, what are in the contracts?
Yeah.
What, and particularly for the guests.
Yeah.
I know the guests have to, we'll get to it later with the new guests. It's like, you definitely were like new, you were coming on a reality show. So you have to sort of like sign certain things. Like, this is a little crossing the line.
A little. Dude takes his pants off and his semi-hard dick is flopping around inside his boxers.
He's got a half chub. He literally, like, it's, I was just like, whoa, that
if the manager at Applebee's did that at my $3 margarita night, there would be a problem. Why is that not a problem here?
And also this, and not to say it's good anywhere, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But also, this also lends to a trend that we'll see throughout this episode in particular, where it's like, have we forgotten we're in France?
Yeah.
Like, we're in the French countryside.
This is not where someone goes to turn up.
Yeah.
This is a chill kind of posh environment.
Like, and also, turn up is one thing. Like, you can, like, have a flirty, fun time in France.
Right.
But this is, like, it's way too much. It's way, way, way fucking
like,
too much.
Do that shit in Paris. Like, look, when I was blessed enough a few years ago, and by a few years ago, I mean, like, 9, I think, to go on a trip to Europe with friends. And we literally, across the alleyway and in full view of our hotel room was a gay porno being filmed. And it was not just a couple people. It was a big old gangbang. And it was just like, what is going on? That's the shit that happens in Paris.
Yeah.
Not the south of France. Not the French countryside. Like, that's not where... What is happening?
Like, he's doing, and also he's like, Priscilla's also on the chair as well, and he's grinding on her at a certain point.
And at that point, he's her boss.
Yeah.
That's sexual harassment.
Yeah. He's also like, he like does like, and again, it's weird because she likes it, so cool, but like, he's like whipping like Harlan on the ass with his belt, like the end, like using it as like one of those like sexy whips or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just like, again, what is in that contract?
Right.
What are they honestly allowed to do?
Well, and what, this is not, why would Vanderpump want this sort of behavior tied to her name?
Exactly. I get that you're like, I mean, she, it's, this is nothing like, Sir is like, she always did the thing of like, well, sir, is where you take your mistress. Like, she plays up to like, ooh, we're a little flirty here. But it's not like...
This is not a little flirty. This is sir after dark after dark after dark. This right. is like three levels of magnitude beyond that ever was.
You at the very least reprimanded Jackson Laura Lee for having sex in the bathroom.
And at least they were having sex with each other.
Yeah.
Not guests on the middle of the floor while everyone's watching.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what this was.
And then I cringe so hard because out there, the party's done and like everyone's just talking about it afterwards. And Eric is like, good thing I didn't throw my underwear off. Didn't want to scare anyone because there's a fucking elephant in the room.
We know. We saw.
We saw. And then Marciano in his confessional goes, Eric's a go-getter. Now I realize I have to do whatever it takes to make the guest happy. And I'm like, no, what? No, this is going to get bad.
This is going to get bad because as we see throughout this entire episode, Marciano's behavior continues to escalate. And I don't know how you can't really blame that on him.
Yeah.
Because a precedent has been set, right? I just watched my manager rub his half-hard dick on our guest.
It's not funny, but like, yeah.
Like, so clearly the line is somewhere beyond that.
Yeah. You're gonna, like, literally, if Marciano, like, fucks one of the guests on a table, I would not be fucking surprised.
Which, we will get to.
Yeah.
We will get to it.
Then we go, so everyone's like decompressing. This leads to the underrated star of this episode, by the way, which is Grace, who is one of the housekeepers. She's talking to Andre in the bedroom and she kind of feels a way about Andre and it's like flirting with him a little bit and tells him that she's into him. But Andre's like playing it up, but also says his confession, like, I don't see Grace in that light and I don't really want to affect our relationship, friendship, but.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, he corrects himself. And like he kinda lets her down. He tries to let her down. He's like, I kinda look at myself as like a father figure to you. And she's just like, don't say that, damn it. Don't say that. Like, and but it's so like Grace is so fascinating to me in the scene because she just goes, damn, that sucks. But hey, I shot my shot, and that's it. And so she's just like, okay, and then goes back to her room. And just like and then she literally goes, I want to put comfy clothes on and move on.
And see, it's I that's love
healthy.
Her.
Yeah,
it's
you're so not gonna healthy. Last long here.
Yeah, no.
We'll see at the end.
But I do. This is another one of those situations where I have the juxtaposition of straight people versus gay people, because if there was like a couple other gay guys on this trip, they would have fucked it. It would have been fine. Yeah, and there would have been like no feelings involved. And it would have been like, we're stuck in France for a few months. We both need to get off. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be an issue. All these straight people talking about feelings. It's like, ain't no feelings involved except feeling good.
Yeah.
That's all that is. And I don't understand why y'all need to start a relationship with someone who lives on opposite ends of the country back home than you do. Stop that shit. Stop it right now. You're going to be here for a few months. Leave your heart at home. Bring your pussy to France. I'm just saying.
Put that shit on a t-shirt. Wow. So we go up to the next morning. Anthony, the chef, is up early making breakfast for the guests, like ahead of time. And this is where we kind of get his background of like his love of food and how it started in France. Anthony is such a, like, in a world in which Marciano is like jacked up out of his fucking mind and Eric is giving like pseudo serial killer, like you mentioned. Yeah. Anthony is the only one I find, well, maybe Andre, but like Anthony's the one I find the most attractive.
Yes. And here's the thing. Eric would be hot if he wasn't such a scary piece of shit.
Yeah, maybe.
But like once you see that attitude, you're just like, I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
That's scary.
But the thing is also everyone's trying so hard.
Yeah.
And Anthony just loves his food and just wants I just want to cook my food.
And I just want to eat the food. Anthony, I put the food on my plate.
So Harlan and her group of friends are about to leave after finishing their stay. And her friend Stratton gifts Lisa a beret that she crocheted. And Lisa's like, oh, it's lovely. It's lovely. And then her confessional, she goes, this is so sweet. I'm definitely going to wear this hat. Until the car is pulled off. Because it is, hat looked crazy on her.
It wasn't a bad hat. It just didn't look right on Lisa. But it's like, why would you say that on the confessional? So now anybody who comes to your place knows that you're going to be shading them on national television?
Honestly, I think they do, though. Like, my thing is, like, that's my, and also it's the cat, like, the contracts, like I mentioned, and the casting. Right, of the guests, because you had to have found people who knew what they were getting into with this, right?
Yeah.
And so I think maybe it's like, ooh, I could see people being like, yay, Lisa Vanderpump shaded me in my, you know, shitty crocheted hat. Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, it's fascinating to me that, like, I want to know how the sausage is made, especially with this show. I don't know why, because it's just reality television, like every other reality show. But, like, for something... There's something I have so many questions about, like, when it comes to how they put this whole thing together in terms of that.
Yeah, you kind of wonder what that process is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how does that get vetted?
They're all enjoying breakfast. The guests are all enjoying breakfast, and Eric comes in to give them the comment cards, because this is the recurring thing every time a guest is there. They're discussing it, and they seem to like Eric, but then one of the guests is like, you know, I think Eric was having fun with us, but, like, he wasn't necessarily, like, taking care of business, like, most of the time.
Yeah.
And so, but they were like, oh, I was like, oh, okay, Eric's about to get, like, you know, rude awakening in terms of this. Harlan and her guests leave, and then Lisa has already read the comment card, and she calls Eric and Priscilla into her office, and they're like, oh, God, I'm nervous. Priscilla goes, it couldn't be bad, and Eric goes, and if it is, I'll walk out. I'll say, fuck off.
Really?
He is. Like, again, like, the... If you don't give me... There is really... I think what it is, like, a thing of, like, if you don't give me unending praise, or the... Like, he, like, he could... Like, he also really... Later, we'll see. He really, like, is, like, loving having, like, Marciano under him to, like, guide him into being his most, like, sex-pesty self.
Yeah.
And so, like, unless you're, like, underneath him wanting it, like, to be doted on, or if you're, like, giving him praise, anything other than that, he fucking is gonna, like, flip a switch on you. And, like, that is scary as fuck to me. We already mentioned last week that his ex-girlfriend has come out with some very terrible allegations, so...
Ooh, yeah.
But again, not surprising. Telly is in her confessional going, I don't think Eric realizes his actions have consequences. I was reprimanded for drinking behind the bar, and now Lisa is going to lay down the hammer, and I'm so fucking excited. And so they build up, like, they're going to, like, Eric's going to finally get his, like, rude awakening of, like, he fucked with all of Lisa's plans. He's, like, being inappropriate with the guests. He's, like, going completely overboard. And then Lisa is talking to Eric and Priscilla in her office and goes, whatever you did, they said they had the best time and they love both of you. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then she goes, I don't know what you did, but just keep doing it, because that's what Chateau Rosabelle is all about.
Absolutely not.
That is the okay. Here's my other issue with this show right now. Lisa is so out of the loop of things, way more than someone who owns a fucking villa should be out of the loop.
Oh, yeah.
I get that Eric is the general manager, right? But you should know what's going on in this fucking place. Like, at the end of the fucking day. And it's so odd, because it's also like, it'd be one thing if it's just like you're reporting to Eric, but also, like, no one, we'll get to it with Telly later. No one else is communicating to Lisa what the fuck is happening. And it's like, she'd just rather be left out of the loop in terms of it. And, like, just, like, well, I don't know what she did, but, you know, it's clearly worked, so do it more. That's the worst fucking thing to say when you don't know what the fuck he did.
Yeah, especially when he's got maniac eyes like that. And, like, at this point, he's just going to fuck everybody that comes into the villa.
Yeah.
Because that's what you just gave him permission to do.
Essentially. Like, it's wild. And Eric goes, lead by example, people. I will take you to the promised land. I'm the shepherd of the flock. And they give him.
Oh, God.
And this is why I say he comes off cult leader, right? It's like, what the fuck? Like, who talks like that? We find out that Hannah and Marciano are still hooking up, like multiple times now.
Oh, Lord.
And it's just like, there's a mess waiting to happen. So Lisa then calls everybody into the room to give them the briefing of their next guest, who is Lauren, who is having her bachelorette party. She's getting married to JP, who's a professional tennis player. And immediately when Lisa says bachelorette party, Eric and Marciano literally look at each other and are just like, yeah. And it's like, oh my God. Like,
it was so nasty. Well, and what I was really frustrated with, there's like right after this meeting, right? Marciano and Eric are talking as they're getting ready for the guests to arrive. And Eric is saying something along the lines of, you know, you really just kind of have to do whatever you have to do. You just have to do what you need to do to make an impression on these guests. You know, if you need to do a midnight visit to one of their rooms, or
he says late night room service, lip service, seduction, whatever they want.
Okay. So now at this point you have sexually harassed the guests.
Yeah.
You have sexually harassed Priscilla.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point you are, I think this also technically falls under sexual harassment.
Right.
Of Marciano is like instructing him to then sexually harass other people. Like, when this is an HR nightmare.
Yeah, it really fucking is. And it's also like, it's so fascinating because it's like whatever they want. They frame it as like the guests are like asking to be like have sex with, basically. Like,
yeah,
it's like what Marciano did at the first episode where he's like, Lisa, they wanted me to drink with them. They wanted you to drink with them because you first suggested drinking with them.
Yeah.
That was never in their, like, mindset before you fucking gave them the idea.
Also, I will say that I have the casting call for Vanderpump Villa.
Oh, my God. I was like, what are you looking up on your phone?
It's not anything. Nothing on here looks salacious. I think it's just people know that they're getting on reality television and know to shoot their shot.
Probably. Well, yeah, and we'll get to that later with one of the guests.
Hey, they said parties of 6 to 8. You want to get our vows renewed on the at Vanderpump Villa? Because they pay you to be on this show.
Oh, they have to.
They pay for travel. They pay for everything. All we have to do is have passports. We got 6 to 8 people we can pull together.
Yeah, let's get the messiest fucks.
Let's get the messiest people we can. I got some people, actually.
Yeah. Hannah in her confessional, because Marciano's excited for the bachelorette or whatever. She goes, we all know Marciano likes to peacock around. If he tries anything or tries to fuck with me, I will come after him like a fucking bulldog. I love skinny white girl with a valley girl accent, like being like, I will fuck you the fuck up.
Like she's a chihuahua.
Yeah.
She's tiny but fierce.
Lisa mentions like some of the itinerary and says there's going to be a massage session, basically. And Eric goes,
really?
I thought we were going to. That should be normal. Like, oh, we're going to give them the ladies massages. Not the guests, like an actual masseuse, right? That would be normal,
right?
But Eric then goes, I thought we were going to be like the oil boys, like joking around. Telly goes, God, we need some water back there. He's getting thirsty.
I love her.
But then Lisa goes, what's wrong with you today? And Telly goes, nothing. Lisa goes, you can say, oh, he's getting thirsty and he needs some water back there. That's exactly what we're here to do. Otherwise, I might as well have gotten some fuddy-duddy old staff to bow and curtsy and all that bullshit. Like, and even like the fact that Telly even has to explicitly say, what's annoying to me is the most is Lisa is condoning Eric's behavior. It just makes him feel like he can keep doing what he's doing. It's like,
well, that is, and even then that is, she's not wrong. That is direct condoning.
Yeah.
She is literally saying, I hired you all to be sexy and messy.
Like, it's like, did you, at this point you should, it shouldn't like, why? Here's my problem, Lisa. Why are you like framing it as like Vanderpump Villa, the like a getaway for, you know, romantic, whatever. Just have a harem. You know what? Honestly, fucking start, like, go to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And do something like that, because clearly that's what you want to do.
Right.
And then you can leave this pretext that this is a professional fucking business.
Right.
That makes it awkward and confusing.
Like, I don't know why Vanderpump just, like, wants to be a madam.
Right.
But apparently that's what she's running a brothel.
It's wild.
It's just a brothel with cameras and a pretense. I guess that's how you get around the law.
Yeah. They start getting ready for the guests to arrive, and Lisa being like, well, I'll sweep the floor. I got, cause as if Lisa knows what the fuck she's doing sweeping a floor. She has never to hold a broom in her fucking life.
I was so, my flabbers were gassed.
She's just kind of making broad strokes. Like, it's like, you're not even going to like a direction. Like, you're kind of like, typically, and I'm not going to get into the intricacies of brooming, but like, yeah.
Poor Steven's running around trying to find a dustpan.
And then, oh my God, she has, I don't know where her new dog is, but
Steven, Donut.
Donut has, Steven has Donut, and Lisa's like, oh my God, I almost forgot.
He's like, do you want Donut back? And she goes, oh my God, I almost forgot him.
It's like losing my own child. The guests then arrive. You immediately were confused because you were like, why is the fiance here?
Yeah, it's a bachelorette party.
And Lauren, the woman getting married, is like, he was just like, why can't I come? You know, so I brought him.
Because it's a bachelorette party. That's not you. You're not here for this.
He wanted the show too, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, Eric then is like behind the bar, behind Telly's bar with Marciano, pouring some kind of like brown liquor in like glasses for them to drink. And again, it's like Telly's like, Lisa's told us to like not drink, but like, you could tell also Telly's kind of like defeated at this point. She's really just sitting there like slouching, just letting them just do whatever the fuck they want, because she has no like
what's she going to do? Yell at her boss?
Yeah. It's a no win situation.
Yeah.
And then Telly in her confession goes, I feel like maybe Lisa had a bad day or someone slipped some THC into her tea, but I know there is no way that she hired Eric in a clear state of mind. And I honestly was like, girl,
honestly,
you are speaking what I'm thinking. Cause like, where does he work? Like in the real world?
Nowhere.
Honestly.
Nowhere. Because there is no establishment where they would allow a general manager to behave this way.
No.
Nowhere. And I worry for him going back into the real world, being able to find work after this display.
Yeah. Lisa's talking to the bachelorette and some of the, like, her guests by the bar, and goes, so is everyone going to the wedding? And Lauren goes, yeah, so it's in Australia, so it's just going to be family, like 40 people. And then I'm assuming her friend, clearly your gay friend who's on this trip, Brett, goes, it's a little messed up if you ask me. This is where we get the Brett was like, whose chateau is this? Lisa Van. Oh, and we're gonna be filmed and seen. And when like he is performing, I like, forgive me of what I said about Zach on the Valley the last couple weeks. This man is, this is a camera fucking hog.
Well, okay, but the Zach is like, okay, I've got a season. I'm going to be around for a season. I can ramp up.
Yeah.
This guy's like, I've got a tight 2 episodes. This is it.
Yeah.
I've got to shoot my shot and get my camera time.
I am going to get on Love is Blind.
No, not Love is Blind. Love Island.
Or that. One of the two.
That way he can be on with Ariana.
Yeah. There we go. Pipeline. Marciano is helping Lauren and one of her guests like open the champagne in her room, and Grace and Emily, who are the maids or whatever, are getting annoyed at his like flirting. And Grace literally says in her confessional, everyone thinks Marciano's just so attractive and charismatic. I think Marciano's like the scum on the bottom of my shoe. Grace's bluntness is the funniest thing to me.
It's so good.
She is so just like, he can go fucking jump off a fucking cliff. But she doesn't explicitly say that, but essentially is what she's saying.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I love it. They then go, they do a badminton session because JP is a tennis player. So they're like, oh, let's do badminton. And then so a couple of them are sitting on like a table after like playing badminton for a little bit. And some of the like Hannah and are like, and them are like tending to them. Brett goes, It's really crazy we're even here right now. I feel like we lost touch and got back in touch. Like, we were hanging out and then just, like, stopped, and that was weird. And Lauren goes, yeah, you know, like, I've been booked and busy. And Brett goes, but that's an excuse. I think Lauren just, like, there was almost like a look on Lauren's face of just, like, you realize this is still my bachelorette, right? Like, this, you like,
I could sit your ass home. I didn't have to bring you to France.
And he just is going on and on. And to me, I didn't even understand the content of what he's saying, because it's just sort of like generic reality TV liners. Because he's like, you know, I just sometimes feel like I'm like victim number one in all of this. And like, it's
the problem is he's giving us no context.
No.
So, like, I feel like I was dropped in, like, episode 8 of a reality show I wasn't previously watching.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to get caught up on the characters and also, like, where they are in their relationship and, like, all of this stuff. And I don't have the 7 other episodes of backstory. I don't understand.
But it's so, it's clearly the show is being like, well, telling the audience, you don't need to know the backstory. You just need to know that Brett is a fucking drama queen. And like,
I guess, but I get hooked on, so like, that's just,
but you're like,
that's
but how I my need brain to know works. Why.
Yes. Why is like the most important question in my brain.
Yeah. And Hannah in the confessional goes, now we know who the drama is. He doesn't give a shit about Lauren, because I would never do that. It's like, yeah, it is kind of really fucked up, actually, if we're stripping the cameras out of this. They then do a diamonds and pearls dinner because it's Lauren's favorite, you know, aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And so Anthony gets to serve his food, his risotto and his panna cotta. And like, he's just so like proud of like the food he presents and giving a full, like, nice dining experience. Brett is at, they're at the table, and Brett goes, I don't know. I feel like there's like a little bit of weirdness still. You know, I don't know. I feel like we should maybe all clear everything up. It's just, and it's like, oh, so you're doing that? Like, this is where I was like, this is reality trope 101. I think we should all just get it out on the table. Like he knows, he has watched Housewives all his goddamn life.
He is Kyle Richards.
Yeah. And Lauren's like, JP, are you okay with that? And JP's like, I mean, I just crashed today, the straight husband who's joined on. And then Brett just goes, which, like, I know is like weird, like I'll be the one to say it, I don't understand why you're here. And it's like,
I don't understand why you're here. You're not even going to the wedding, bitch. What are we doing?
Man. Okay, so then Eric is like, we got to shake things up a little bit. And then he comes out with another bottle of tequila, or no, I think this was like whiskey or something, and starts free pouring in the guest's mouth, like, at this fucking dinner table. And, like, well, in the way that, oh, my God, the way that Marciano presents why he's doing this, throwing alcohol on an argument is either going to make it 10 times worse or 10 times better. I'm willing to find out.
Bitch.
This is where I'm like, you're evil. You're evil personified, honestly. Like, there's, I get it. Like, there's sometimes where I'm like, This was shady as fuck, but you're great TV. Like, how many times have we said that? But this is just like, you're like, this is, it's beyond, it doesn't need to be this way.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Well, because he has no stake in it.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. He's doing it purely for entertainment factor.
Yeah. Eric in his confessional goes, it doesn't need to be so strict. We're not here for a business meeting or an anniversary. This is an event to get wild and let loose and get freaking crazy. It's like, you are already freaking crazy, dude.
Honestly.
And then, but Anthony is so mad about this. And it feels, he's like, I'm just trying to make elegant, delicate food. Like, we're not in a nightclub. Is that French good? It might not be. It's a little German.
A little bit, but the lines there are blurry.
Yeah. Caroline is trying to, like, calm Anthony down. And he just goes, you do that in any other restaurant, you can get fired for that. We're trying to be classy and elegant, and you do shot like you're in Vegas. Like, that's my thing. It's like, this isn't, I get all these people came from Vegas. This is not Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever about Anthony, even in terms of like, just like this being his thing, right? This is like, the dinners are like, the chefs are curating it. They're it's their vision, et cetera. To just jump in and fuck that up is just rude in general. But like, again, none of this applies. This happens throughout the episode too, where they're like, oh, I got this great idea. Eric typically is like, I have this great idea to jazz things up. And it's just them pouring shots in people's mouth every time.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not, you just did that four times ago. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's the same, like, there's nothing creative about it, right? You're just getting people drunk.
Woohoo. You can do that at any like dive bar across America.
Yeah. Eric walks into the kitchen and goes, is everything okay? And Anthony goes, I'm not. I don't like the way you act with people. Like, we're trying to present an experience. And Eric goes, okay, look, your kitchen and we're table. And Anthony goes, okay, so get the fuck out of my kitchen because I don't want to talk to you. Eric has no, like, and he's just like, oh, well, you know, we're all working hard. It's like he doesn't speak in any, like, authoritative manner, right? It's not like a – he talks like another – like, he talks like a person that's, like, in a fight on a reality show, not someone who's organizing a fucking business, right?
Yeah, and that's what's always – like, it's weird to me on shows like this, on shows like Below Deck, even Vanderpump back in the day, where it's like, but there's – clearly a, like, this is what's acceptable in a respectable environment. And then y'all are not doing that.
Yeah. Even Anthony in the confessional goes, if it was my place, my restaurant, half of the staff would have been fired already. It's like, yeah, they actually would.
Yeah. And in most places.
Yeah. They wake up the next morning. Oh my God. Eric is outside with a sheep. And is, like, feeding it a banana and then decides, you know what's going to be fun? And then leads the sheep into the living quarters for the fucking staff and, like...
This man is deranged.
Yeah, honestly. Honestly.
I just...
And the way he frames it almost as if it's like team, not, he doesn't explicitly say this, but it's like team morale. Like, I'm just having fun. I'm built like, and everyone's just like, I fucking hate this man. Like, I genuinely want to strangle him. Like,
honestly.
And that's not the place you want to be. So they're all like doing like the setup of stuff in the morning. Telly walks in and Eric goes, why are you late? And Telly goes, I'm not late. I guess she was like maybe like 10 minutes or something, like 10 or 20 minutes. I can't tell. Eric goes, I'm doing your job. That's why I'm asking, which is such like, again, I hate like.
That's the only thing from him that I've gotten where I was like, okay, yeah, you might be service industry management.
Oh, is that, that's that a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I'm doing your job. Telly's a bartender. That's my other thing. What is Telly's task to do like this early in the fucking morning?
Well,
maybe
clean
glasses, but like.
Well, and you have to be ready for like mimosas and things like that.
Yeah, I don't get, it didn't seem, I don't know. And then Telly's like, I don't care. And Eric goes, you should care. You should care about your guests. And Telly's like, you know what? I'll just go home right now. And fucking is like, because once Telly gets disrespected, she's like, fuck off, motherfucker. Eric goes, I've been up since 6:30. And Telly goes, that's cool. You're up at 6:30 playing with a sheep. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like,
this man is exhausting.
Yeah. She goes, you don't respect anybody. And Eric goes, you're 20 minutes late. That's bullshit. And Telly goes, that's why you're fucking 36 and single.
Bitch.
Which I don't know. I mean, because you're 20, it didn't necessarily work as well in terms of logic. But I was just like, because Eric goes, like, why is she going so personal with me? It's just, it's like, I'm happy her going fucking personal with you. Just, it's a buildup of things. Like,
oh, yeah.
So then they do a pampered pool spa day. This is where they're all the guests are by the pool and some of them are getting massages and stuff like that. And then this is
nails done, things like that.
And Eric's like, this takes a moment to go, let's spice things up. And then Eric and Marciano start doing the like spray thing on the champagne or whatever. Like they were in fucking Palm Springs.
If I ever get sprayed with champagne, I will punch somebody in the mouth. I do not like being sticky.
Yeah.
There was definitely
one guest who was like, oh, yay, who clearly did not want to get wet.
Like, there is literally not a world in which I want to be covered in sticky something. I hate it. It's an autism thing. I understand that. But, like, you don't know who has icks.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. Like, why would you ever...
Are you saying that Eric is not fully aware in terms of, like, understanding people's boundaries and, like, what the...
Yeah. Shocker. This guy has never met a boundary that he didn't willingly cross.
Yeah. They're pouring tequila shots in people's mouth. Again, it's like we're... I know it's not the big deal, but it's like we're in France, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know. And then, like, he's pouring, like, he gives one of them a tequila shot through the little hole in the massage table. That they, it's like, what the like, this is where it just doesn't, it just, it's also fine if you want to do this at night for, like, the night, if, like, Harlan's party. I get that people were, like, drinking. Fine.
Right.
What? There's no, it's a fuck, it's the fucking 10 a.m. Like, and we're like,
yeah, I don't, no.
Hannah Erica Fassol goes, because Marcio's like taking his shirt off and like jumping in the pool and stuff like that. She goes, definitely not jealous of any of those girls. I just feel like he's being fake as fuck and putting on a show. Her favorite phrase is saying that people are fake as fuck. You're being fake as fuck.
Sounds a lot like Sheena Shea.
Oh, it's so Sheena. Gabriella checks on Telly by the bar or whatever, and Telly's just looking dejected. She's like, I'm fine. But you, like, she is just like shrinking at this point. She's like, I have to have a conversation with Lisa. I want to go home. I don't even want to be here. And it's just like,
I get it.
Okay. I get it. I'm frustrated with this conversation with Lisa. She goes out to Lisa, who is like working on flowers or whatever in the garden. And so she's got
wearing fucking overalls. Which was what, like, the fuck?
Okay. I wasn't the only one that found that weird too, right? It's like,
it was real weird.
Just for on Lisa, like, you know? And then Telly's like, look, I would rather go home than being poked and poked and poked by Eric. Like, this is the third time he's done this to me. And Lisa goes, I don't think anyone does anything to you. I think you give it right back. And I'm like, where are you going with this? What?
What?
She goes, I think you're strong or stronger than any person. It's like, but it's also because Lisa wants them to fight. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She wants them to, like, she's like, don't do it in front of the guests, but fight. So yeah. It's like, but that's not a work environment. Whatever. Telly talks about having a tendency to just quit jobs and avoid her problems. And that's been like a big issue and trigger for her. But Lisa tells her, I care about you more than your position. Darling, if you want to go, it's fine. It's up to you. She was very ready to be like, cut Telly. Like, one of the few, like, semi-professional people in this fucking chateau. And she's going to be like, bye.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, and then Telly's like, you know, I'm torn, but I'm not going to leave. And she's like, you know, I feel like I'm learning how to tolerate things and not, like, run away. And she, like, it's like a bond. It's like a, they frame this as this, like, bonding moment of just, like, Lisa is teaching her to be a stronger person and et cetera. And it's like, at no point is Telly just like, hey, so by the way, I think you may not fully realize, but Eric, like, had a full fucking boner out and was, like, grinding on the gas. And that's why the comment card is the way it is. Just so you're aware of that.
Yeah.
No one seemingly has told Lisa what Eric did.
Like, it was...
Because I can give Lisa the benefit of... I don't. I still think it's reckless. But, like, I can give Lisa the benefit of she doesn't know what Eric did, but Eric did something right. But it's like, girl, can one of you fucking tell her what he did?
Yeah. Because, look, if I was Harlan, I would have rated him high, too. I'm just saying, I would have enjoyed myself. But also, like, from a professional standpoint, that's gross.
Yeah.
It's just, it's nasty. What are we doing?
And then they have a night in Versailles dinner where all of them wear powdered wigs, and it's very sort of, like, regal and royalty and like, classic royalty and stuff like that. And it's a seated fucking dinner. Again, and Marciana fucking goes up to Eric behind the scenes and goes, yo, the party's boring again. I don't know what to do about it. It's not a party. It's a dinner. It is not a fucking party.
Part of the enjoyment of it is the pomp and circumstance. It's the playing. It's the costumes. It's the, We are acting like we are these, you know, hoity-toity French royalty, you know, like, just before the French Revolution, like,
yeah.
All of this stuff. like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if I lost my head? You know, all it's fun. But like, that's not the time for tequila shots. Yeah.
It's like, can I have one fucking event where I don't get tequila poured in my mouth, please?
Yeah.
Where I can eat some food.
Yeah.
Like,
I swear, everybody's going to leave this fucking place with cirrhosis.
Well, and also later Marciano complains about Anthony not working enough for some reason. And I'm like, you are literally taking all of the times in which his work is like being applied to something and co-opting it to pour tequila shots in people's mouth.
Yeah.
Let the people eat Anthony's fucking food.
Yeah.
Like, they head out to the yard when the whole night is done, like the guests and the staff or whatever, because I guess this is where I'm like, okay, so it's very like agreed upon that the guests and staff are going to interact. And Brett, the fucking tryhard gay, is fucking like, you guys put on a night in Versailles for us, and now we're going to put on Versailles after hours for you. So what we're going to do is you can answer the question that you pull or remove an article of clothing. It's like, again, this is, but it's also like the guest being like, hey, staff, remove an article.
I also would feel it's one thing to turn up with your coworkers.
Yeah.
Like, we are on the same level, even with your managers, right? Like, our wedding, I had some of my managers from work there, and we put all of that aside and had fun and got drunk, and it was a great time. But, like, I don't understand how you could do this with guests and then go back into a service mindset after that.
You can't, because you can't, and they don't. That's the thing. They don't.
Because they're, to me, when I'm in a customer service situation like this, there's a boundary.
Yeah.
There is a boundary between me and the person, because once I start becoming friends with that person, then it's very hard for me to take orders from that person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when somebody starts going, oh, can you go get me a shot of this and, you know, maybe, you know, that thing from the kitchen or this other thing? I'm like, bitch, go get it yourself. Because we're friends now. We're on equal level. So why are you asking me to do shit? But you've removed that boundary by partying. I don't understand how you go back and forth like that.
No. So they're answering questions or whatever, and it's fun, and everyone's having a good time. Marciano then pulls a question of, who do you think does not deserve to be here?
Oh, good God.
And then he pauses for like maybe a second and goes, I'm going to go with Chef. I hate that he calls him Chef and doesn't call him Anthony.
Yeah, it's dehumanizing.
Yeah, because he doesn't view him as like a fucking, you know. And he goes, look, I know chefs who would be out here right now making sure your experience was the best of all time. So because Anthony is not also fucking like doing this, like what? Why would you want the, anyways, and Caroline, the sous chef or whatever, is like with them and goes, why would you say that? And I love what she said in her confessional about, he wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the kitchen. What would he serve? What would he do? Meaning Marciano.
Yeah.
Like, that's so fucking true, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, what is Marciano's job really other than taking a plate of Anthony's food and bringing it to a fucking table? What does he do other than that? And then like go out of the way to just get people fucking drunk.
Yeah.
And you're bitching about the fucking chef who is fucking slave, like has, oh, I'm so mad. I'm so mad on behalf of Anthony. I'm really mad. Grace in her confessional goes, Marciano is a douchebag. He's self-centered. He's entitled. He's a 30-year-old man who acts like a little bitch.
Honestly,
get him, Grace. So like they disperse a little bit after this, and apparently Andre had told Anthony what Marciano had said, and Anthony is talking to Eric and Caroline about it. I love when Anthony says, I don't need to prove anything to Marciano. I will wait for him to be where I am today.
So never.
It's basically it's like the inverted French way to say you can't lace my fucking boots, bitch. Like,
yeah,
it's great. So then, oh my God, the way we end the episode, Andre and Marciano are behind the bar, and Grace is like at one of the chairs by the bar, and like Marciano's trying to crack something open. Andre goes, why are you acting like you can take whatever you want? Because again, he's not supposed to be I guess it's after hours, but it's still the like main bar. It's not like the private bar. Marciano goes, I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to get yelled at. Grace then goes, I think it's a little late for that one. And Marciano goes, what am I going to get yelled at for, Grace? Tell me. And Grace goes, for being a piece of shit. Grace, something was just like, okay, no filter in my mind. I'm just going to say, you fucking suck. I fucking hate you. Yeah. And then literally she goes, I'm going to make something very, very clear, and walks up closer to him and goes, I do not fuck with you. I think you're arrogant. I think you're an asshole. I think your comment about the chefs was disgusting. And Marciano goes, I could have said you. And she goes, say me. Say me. I do not give a fuck. But saying them, are you on crack? They do the most fucking work.
Yeah.
She was activated as fuck. And Marciano goes, they should do more. Grace goes, they need to do more, but you're out here taking shots by the pool. And Marciano goes, have you ever worked in a nice restaurant before? And she goes, I'm a fucking housekeeper. I clean up people's shit. I clean up people's shit. You have no idea.
Yeah.
And starts popping off on him. And you go, like, they have to separate them at a certain point. Marciano walks in and goes, you're a 23-year-old old brat. And, like, Andre has Grace. And Grace tries to lunge towards Marciano and goes, and you're a 30-year-old fucking piece of fucking shit.
So good.
It's great. It was, like, as much as it's, like, toxic fighting, I was, like, it built up to like the perfect toxic fight. And I love that Grace was really non-existent the first three episodes for the most part. But here she's just like, I have been fucking stewing and I am going to fucking lay into this motherfucker.
She probably had to clean up like a monster shit in the toilet or something.
She's like, I'm done.
It's like, I'm done with this motherfucker. I know he's the one that laid that log.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. That was Vanderpump Villa for this week. Got, you know, workplace harassment and violations aside, very entertaining reality TV show.
Honestly.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Vanderpump Rules. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Man.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas, on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachlowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery, concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at SidekickMediaServices.com.
Welcome back to Again is NB. Let's head to West Hollywood, where Lala changes her middle name from mistress to betrayer, and the relationship that never was official, officially never will be, on Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump Rules for this week, a very Schwartz and Joe-centric episode, which...
Why?
Joe was in four scenes.
Why?
I can't tell you why.
Why? Why?
They really thought, and it seemed, so Joe was on Rachel's podcast today.
Oh, God.
She basically is like, I don't know if I would come back for it and do it for another time or whatever.
Good.
So but it's also then like, why are we investing so much into like her? I mean, I, we'll get into it. It was a better episode because I don't think, like, Tom didn't talk as much, or Sandoval didn't talk as much, so it was therefore not, like, the most stressful episode. But
that's
like,
fair.
I mean, Lala still was being Lala.
Uh-huh. She was giving us Lala. We just didn't like what we were getting.
Yeah. We pick up from the beach where Ariana is basically being like, what the fuck do you expect me to do? Like, fucking, like, what we, you know, left off on. And Ariana goes, you guys, he fucking sucks. Like, literally, what is up with this? I'm like, that is such a mood this season. That is the mantra of this season.
Yeah.
Guys, he fucking sucks. What is up with this?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't, like, Ariana's like, I don't understand this. Like, what? Brock goes, I think this guy has been castrated and he's sitting in the corner. If you don't get the fuck out of here, Brock, I'm so sick of you.
Like, I just, there's a certain point where the idiotic, misogynistic bullshit that's coming out of his mouth is so much that it encapsulates and blocks all the pretty eye candy.
Yeah, I know.
And at a certain point, you're no longer attractive.
He was in short shorts later in paintball, and I couldn't even fucking enjoy it.
Well, he was walking away at that one point, and I did like that.
Fine. Fine, but I'm not going to... conflicted. Ariana goes, he's literally throwing jabs at me, so he's not castrated. And Brock goes, you guys are going tit for tat. And she goes, but I'm allowed to do that!
Right. She's the aggrieved party here.
She goes, I'm allowed to feel a certain way because he did shit to me. I never did anything to him. She keeps reiterating this like throughout the episode where it's just like, I didn't do anything to him. So why the fuck am I like getting like it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Even if you think she's like not coping with the emotions well enough, that doesn't mean she's in the wrong.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's wild because she's literally just reacting.
Yeah.
To his bullshit.
Ariana says her confessional, this man not only tried to ruin me, but now he's saying everything that he possibly can to make me seem like a horrible partner. And if these are the types of conversations that he has about me when all of these people are present, like, fuck any of y'all for not telling him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because, and it's so clear, it's like, Ariana's like, if this is what happens when I'm here, what is happening when I'm not here?
Yeah, exactly that.
And she's right to, you know, think that. Schwartz comes up and goes, hey, I'm going to take Tom to the bar. Like, I don't want to, like, jeopardize the vibe. And Ariana goes, sounds good, bye. Like, basically get the fuck out. And I thought it was so, ooh, this, like, I'm sorry. It's the fucking little things with Tom, with Sandoval at this point. Because Schwartz walks up and goes, and Sandoval goes, was Ariana getting emotional? What was that? What was that phrasing? And Schwartz goes, yeah, she was. You know, let's just give her like a breather. And Sandoval goes, totally. In this like fake kind voice, like,
ew.
Totally I'd give her a breather.
Ugh.
Yeah, because I'm such a nice guy. No, he is terrible. He's a terrible fucking actor.
And human, but mostly actor.
Yeah. Ariana's like, he's never going to fucking get it. And Lala goes, Ariana, if he were to say to you, and Ariana cuts him off, cuts Lala off and goes, I don't want him to say shit to me. I want him to go jump in the fucking ocean.
Yeah.
And Lala goes, he has no way of winning. And Ariana goes, no, Lala, no, he doesn't.
That's the point.
But what? Like
he was winning. He decided to throw that win away to fuck Rachel.
Yeah. But Lala, he has no way of winning. Like, it's not a fucking game where, well, it's, that's not, that doesn't make any fucking sense. It doesn't make any fucking sense at fucking all. And also, I also feel like Ariana, like Lala being like, Ariana, if he were to say to you, so like, clearly, it's kind of like with the Michelle conversation on The Valley,
uh-huh.
Where it's like, Lala trying to present the thing of like, if Sandoval said this, well, now if Sandoval says that to me, I fully believe that you coached him to say it.
Yeah.
And because nothing about him is genuine. If he was genuinely remorseful, if he genuinely felt sorry about anything, it would reflect in everything that he fucking did. But
yeah.
It doesn't.
At all.
So, like, fuck off, Lala. Swartz and Sandoval are by the bar, and Swartz is just like, you guys got to get out of that house together. And then Sandoval goes, dude, I love Maya. You know, don't say I signed the adoption papers. I get to keep her. It's like, that has nothing to do with you getting out.
He has his narrative that he needs to push.
Yeah. And then, speaking of narrative, he goes back to a Old Faithful in the confessional. He goes, anything that the house needs, from toilet paper to trash bags to pens to batteries to electrical work to repairs. And then the producer in the confessional goes, you just got destroyed on the internet for saying that. Why would you bring it up again? And Sandoval then goes, I think Ariana is going to be in for it when she gets her own place. She's going to be in for a rude awakening. Does Sandoval not know that Instacart exists? Genuinely. I mean, for the laziest person in the world, imagine the laziest goddamn person in the fucking world.
Tom Sandoval, got it.
Yeah. But, like, there are ways to get pens and batteries and, that where you don't even have to leave your bed.
How often are you going through pens and batteries? And, like, batteries? Batteries. In today's day and age,
I can make a pen last a year.
Honestly, I bought a pack of Bic, like 20 Bic pens, just the normal clear with the black cap on it, right? Yeah. I think it was $3 or $4 at Walmart. I bought that in 2018. I still have most of them.
Yeah. And you know what I bet it is now that I think about it? He goes through pens so quickly because he signs all of his like autographed like 8x10s for his like Tom Sandoval and the Most Extra shows that nobody fucking buys. But I just know these are gonna sell out, dude. Well, they're gonna sell out.
He's using them to journal.
Oh, that's right. He does so much journaling.
But then he does them. So who gives a fuck about the pens?
Yeah, it's somehow still Ariana's fault.
Also, modern vibrators plug into the wall. So what is she using batteries for?
No, nothing. Sheena tells them that Tori is coming to the bar to check on. And Sheena talks about, I don't have the best tracker with matchmaking. I know that. But now that Katie is totally over Swartz, it might be okay to set him up again. Why are you trying to set, like, Swartz up still? This is different than the Rachel thing, but it's like, Sheena, like, stop trying to, again, it's this guy's girl bullshit that I'm just sick of with her. Like, you, like, let Swartz fucking figure it out. I don't know, it's wild to me. But then we find out that she basically told Tori that, Swartz is interested, blah, 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 blah. But then Sheena says that Katie found out about this and says that Tori should date her instead. Katie was saying on the after show that she, like, had, in, like, she talked to Tori and was really interested in her at Hotel Ziggy, right? But she didn't even know that, like, Sheena was, like, hooking Swartz up with Tori at that point. So this was already, like, the feelings were already there before, like, all that transpired. I believe Katie, because Katie seems to be pretty trustworthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but now we're in this fucking space where, like, and we already knew about this going into the season, where, like, Swartz and Katie are both attracted to this one girl. And so, like, I think it's, I find it fun.
I find it fun too. And I enjoy seeing Katie finally being able to explore this side of herself.
Yes.
When, and she says it in a confessional later, it's like, I was with Swartz forever.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never had the chance to explore those feelings. And now I can. So I'm going to.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Everyone starts to move over into the bar area.
Also, I realized that as far as we know, Allie is the only straight girl on this cast. Because Ariana is admittedly
bisexual.
Bi. Katie,
Lala's at least dabbled.
Lala has dabbled. Sheena has dabbled. Joe, but she doesn't count. Allie. We don't know anything about Allie. We don't know whether she's ever dabbled in the lady pond. Everybody else has. at the very least dabbled.
Right.
If not actively has a queer identity.
I hate that the most like queer centric show now on Bravo is like also this toxic
but it's all queer women.
Right.
That are like constantly being
that's true.
Like attacked by sure most of each other, but also these toxic men.
And it's like, this is why.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sandoval is because Sandoval's on his sober kick, right? He's doing shots of water. Like for, let me do a shot. It's like, go to fucking therapy, dude. I'm so sick. Like, this isn't normal. Like you can, like I've never seen someone be performatively sober.
Yes. Yes. Holy shit. Yes. Performatively sober. That is what this is.
It's crazy. Like Lala fucking threw a whole party based off of drinking water, and somehow that was less performative than this. I don't know. I don't know how that works. And he's like buying drinks for like one of the girls like by the table next to it. It's just, oh my God. Tori then arrives and says hi to Schwartz at the table. With him, and they're talking. Schwartz goes, let me get you a drink. You know, I think you like tequila. And like they pause, and she goes, oh no, champagne. You like champagne. He can't even remember fucking jack shit. I agree that like there is an instinct to be like, oh, let me hook up with Schwartz. And spoiler, I think Tori's doing a little of this to get on the show. Like, I can't.
You but don't, honestly,
you don't hook up with Schwartz and Katie without like.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sheena told her to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this will be your
because
end.
Sheena knows what she's doing. Like, say what you will about Sheena, but, like, she knows what it takes to be on reality television.
Yeah.
And be necessary on a show. Be, like, a mainstay on a show. She knows what she's doing. So if that's something that Tori wanted, I wouldn't be surprised if Sheena told her this is the route to go.
Yeah, I agree. Tori goes, so are you going to ask me on a date? Or are you just going to send fire emojis? And Schwartz is like, oh, man, doing his, like, whatever. But then they agree to go on a date. Katie then walks up to the table, and Schwartz is, like, already knowing what's about to happen. He goes, this is my date, Katie. Katie, you didn't buy her a bottle of champagne? And Katie looks and goes, that's not champagne. Schwartz goes, it's Brut. And Katie goes, that's not champagne.
No, it's not.
It's like, whatever. It's like a sparkling white. Whatever. Schwartz in his confessional goes, what a little cock blocker. Like, and Katie, this is where Katie says, if he doesn't like me taking his girls from him, maybe he should try harder. Like,
honestly,
I love this. And it's like, here's the thing. It's weirdly playful on both their parts.
Yes.
Like, and like, whatever about, I'll get annoyed with Schwartz this episode later, but like, I appreciate that he is semi taking it in stride.
Yes.
And not like, he really doesn't even, like, he'll joke and say Katie's a hypocrite, but it's the other people really trying to force the narrative that Katie's a hypocrite more than anything.
At the end of the day, I think he just wants peace with her, and he's okay with whatever really that looks like.
Yeah. And Schwartz leaves so Katie and Tori can talk, and Katie just goes, what a weirdo. She really controls it, like brings him down in a way. She wins the flirting game.
Oh yeah.
Down. Okay, so Lala, Sheena, and Ariana are talking by a table. And Lala goes, look, we know that you cannot control Tom, what he does, how he acts. You can only control yourself. Do you feel like there's unresolved feelings? And Ariana kind of nods and goes, you know, I know the amount of anger that I feel for him is not healthy. Like it's like Ariana's acknowledged that it's not good for me that I'm this angry. I'm not wanting to stay in this position of anger. I think there's this idea that like Ariana just wants to remain angry and be like the vengeful ex or whatever. And that's not true. It's the situation she's in.
Well, here's the thing. There's nothing unhealthy about being anger or about being angry. It's when you allow it to take over your life. And she's not doing that. She's trying to process through it. Yeah. The problem is that people keep dragging her back as she's trying to process. She's trying to move forward. She's trying to get all of this shit done. And he and everyone that he has aligned and gotten into the ear of is trying to hold her back from being able to move forward because they want her to live in this angry, bitter space so that he can then point at her and go, look, this is why I cheated.
Right.
This is why I'm perfectly justified in having cheated.
Well, and it's also, so this conversation feels nice, right? And it's probably like, it's also speaks to like Lala, your sentiment of, you know, we can't at the end of the day control Sandoval. He's going to act the way that he acts. We can only control what we do with ourselves is a fine message. It's the tone in which you deliver it, right? Here it's the right tone.
Right.
It feels like you're rooting for Ariana. You're wanting Ariana to get better. You're wanting Ariana to get out of this situation. It's not in the tone of just like, well, fix it, which has been your tone this rest of the whole rest of the season and will be later this episode, by the fucking way.
And by later, you mean in 3.2 seconds.
Yeah, the next day. Sheena goes, I wish there could just be like a calm conversation where he's like, I know I fucked up. I shouldn't have done that. And Ariana goes, but he's never going to say that he fucked up. He hasn't even told me he fucked up about the fucking main thing. Like,
yeah,
like that's the thing. It's like, guys, you can like, we're not, Sandoval's going to be the way he is, but you also there can't expect him to like, he's never going to give me an apology. Never. It's not in him.
Well, and the thing is that I love how they're just like, well, Sandoval's just going to be how he is. And we're then led to believe that that means that we just accept him like that and act as if it's not an issue.
Right.
No. If he's just going to be that's how he is, then we're going to just remove him from this space.
That's what that's what normally people would do, right? It's just so stupid.
Right.
Lala goes, do you almost feel like when you look at him, you're like, you just threw me away, like I was just nothing? And Arnold goes, yeah. Like, he knew all of my deepest, darkest parts of me, and he just doesn't, and like, it's just like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, he just speaks of Ariana as if she was like a hurdle in his life. And just like a, well, I jumped that hurdle, now I'm into this new life that's better for me. There's no, like, this was your partner for 9 years. I'm losing something by losing her. There's nothing, none right. of that.
He's more tore up about losing Rachel than he is about losing Ariana.
And that's sick. I'm sorry.
It's disgusting.
Sheena goes, that was your dream house. He fucking wrecked that house. And now let's just get you out. And who cares about the materialistic items when it comes
now
to you? No, she should get everything for the fucking furniture she paid for.
Every red cent she's owned.
Yeah. But Sheena goes, I just want you to be happy. And Ariana starts crying. Goes, you're right. And she breaks down in their arms. Like Lala tries to hug her and all that stuff. She goes, it just sucks because I put so much of my life and my money and my time into making this my dream home. And it was. And not only did he wreck it, but the way he wants to act like he's deserving of staying there or keeping it. And like, I never did anything to him.
Yeah.
Like,
so what is she supposed to do? Let him win?
Right.
No.
And it's like, yeah. Ariana goes in her confessional, I keep my armor up because this shit is fucking traumatic. And I'm trying to find ways to go through all these things without making it everybody else's problem. But then he's openly talking shit because the guy has no remorse. She's like, I don't want, like, and I feel that this season, right? I felt that from the beginning. They keep, like, Sheena keeps talking about the pressure that she feels and all that stuff. But I genuinely don't think Ariana is trying to put pressure on you at all.
No. She has, in fact, walked back several times to where she has gone from, I will not be friends with someone who is friends with him.
Yeah.
To, now I'm fine. Be friends with who you want to be friends with. Just don't bring shit about him to me. And don't bring shit about me to him.
Yeah.
I need you to put up a wall and keep my information from getting to his ears. Like, I just separate it. I need you to separate that to keep me safe.
Yeah. It's not that difficult. Tori and Katie are talking at a table, and Tori goes, have you ever dated a girl? And Katie goes, dated? No. But she's like, have you had sex with a girl? And Katie nods, and she goes, it's better. And Katie goes, but I wouldn't put any label on myself. I just like people. You know,
so I think Katie's more pan.
Yeah, probably. And Tori's like, you're just so cute. You make me nervous. Like, I want to kiss you so bad. And the way Katie just goes, you can kiss me. And then they,
that was so sexy.
It was so hot. And then wait, they make out, and it was just like, it was like fireworks were going off in my head. There was just something really like beautiful about it. You know what I mean? I don't think I've ever seen Katie kiss Schwartz like that.
No.
And here's the thing. I don't think the thing with Tori is going to or should last necessarily. I think
no, because I'm not quite comfortable with the age gap.
Because Tori's 24 and,
right.
and Katie's 37.
I am a big believer in the half the age plus seven rule. Mm-hmm. Like, just as a rule of thumb. But half her age plus seven would be...
19 plus seven is 26.
Yeah.
So she's like 2 years off.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe we can get to the 26 with like, maybe Tori's like super mature, or like maybe it's just, it was just Katie's birthday and it's about to be Tori's birthday. So really it's like yeah. a year is actually a little bit closer. It's, I mean, there's some weasel room there, right? But like, I just...
Yeah. And Katie doesn't come off as 37. She comes no. off like a little bit younger. And Tori,
especially now that she's divorced.
Well, yeah, that part. But yeah, it was just it was a great moment for Katie, I feel, more than anything.
Yes.
Okay. We then go to Lala going out to get hot dogs with Joe. And... you can attest, before Katie said anything on this episode, when I saw Joe at the hot dog stand and then Lala approaches, I literally go, why?
What are we doing?
What's the point of this?
Like, I don't...
why would this ever happen? This makes no fucking sense. The way Lala is moving this season makes no fucking sense. And I'm not... like, it's not like... even in terms of the argument, it's who she's choosing to even base, like, associate with.
I honestly think, and maybe this is just wishful thinking on my part, because up until this season, I have just really liked Lala.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like maybe this is a misguided attempt to save the show.
Well, Queens of Bravo had tweeted about, like, the problem is it feels like she is just a producer plant.
Yeah.
Because this feels like a scene a producer put together.
Right.
Right?
Because usually with stuff like this, you see them planning. You see them going, sending a text. Hey, you want to grab lunch later? You know, well, that sort of thing.
And Joe says that, like, hey, I'm great. I'm glad we met up because Schwartz wanted me to meet up with you. So it's like...
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's the it's this group, this Schwartz plan, quote unquote, which is like a producer plan,
right.
to then rope in Lala. So then it's like, then you got to communicate. It just feels planned.
Yeah.
It just feels really planned out. Lala goes, yeah, I saw you the other night at Hotel Ziggy and I saw that, you know, you weren't okay and all that stuff. Joe then says in her confessional, okay, let me preface this. We had a great spirited discussion at the end of this episode about whose side we were on, Schwartz versus Joe, in terms of like whose fault is what, in terms of like the dynamics, in terms of everything. I was on I won't say I'm on team Joe. I'm on team not Schwartz. You were on team not Joe.
Yeah. And yeah, so, pretty much.
And so like that is kind of where the dynamics were. I will say, watching back this episode a second time, I see your points a little bit more about Joe.
My problem with Joe is that she seems to believe things that we don't have any evidence for. And like confessionals, mm-hmm. like, right. And she'll talk about her and Schwartz as if they're together. But then in front of everybody, she will, quote unquote, toe the company line we're just friends, we're not together, we're single.
I didn't notice that until the second watch. Cause like I didn't realize she was also downplaying it in parts to like people. Cause she says in her confessional here, I see how much Schwartz loves his friends and I want to be welcomed into this group if, you know, I want to be part of Schwartz's life forever. Which I'm like, oh, so like you want to be part of his life forever. Meaning serious relationship.
I think,
right?
She has locks of his hair
At this point. And
she gave him a haircut.
Oh yeah. She has a shrine.
She has a shrine.
Yeah. But then later she's like downplaying it to Lala in this conversation of like, no, Schwartz. No. And it's like, oh, okay. You're also being inconsistent in a way that I was very angry that Schwartz was.
Yeah.
So like, yeah.
Well, and they did it at, she did it that at singles night. They actively took singles wristbands.
So on Rachel's podcast, she says, she's claiming that because they were out to do like singles was a green wristband.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow was like in
open relationship.
Red was just like wingman.
Right.
And she claims Schwartz said he was going to put on a red band. And then when the table came up, he then grabbed the green one.
But she also grabbed the green one.
Maybe she grabbed it after. That's what she said. I saw notes of the podcast, by the way. I didn't listen because, oh my God, I couldn't. Like those two.
That's fair.
Please.
Yeah.
But like.
Dull and duller.
Yeah. And also, but she says that, you know, I want to be welcomed into this group if I want to be part of Schwartz's life forever. And potentially Lala is the ticket to that. You know, maybe don't. If you want to come off as like genuine in terms of your intentions of getting into a friend group
and not plotty,
don't say that someone's the ticket to get into the group.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes it seem like it's calculated. Lala then goes, you know, obviously Ariana and Katie, they have in their mind what happened. What the fuck does that mean, Lala? You were with them with all the fucking. Oh, at the reunion, you were completely advocating for what they were saying. Fuck off. Anyways, Lala goes, but for my own sanity, Tom and Raquel, did you know? And Joe goes, no. Here's the thing. Lala goes, how could you not have known? Joe goes, I hung out with them a couple of times. Like, I'm not watching them. I'm looking at Schwartz.
I'm sorry. If you were that in tune to Schwartz, who is probably the most derpiest, uninteresting man on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to where you don't realize that Tom and Rachel are on this couples trip together.
Yeah. Speaking of the Big Bear trip.
For hours, days, right? Days that you were with these people.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, not just to mention that, but
then you're crazy.
Right.
I'm sorry.
If what Rachel is saying on her podcast is true, Schwartz's apartment was the getaway for them to have sex.
Right.
Who was living with Schwartz?
Joe.
Give me a fucking break.
If Schwartz knew the whole time, Joe knew the whole time.
She says in her confessional, to be honest with you, I thought Ariana and Sandoval were broken up.
So which one was it? You didn't notice that Tom was with Rachel, or you thought it was fine because you thought Tom and Ariana were broken up? Because those are mutually exclusive.
Also, did you know at Thanksgiving?
Right.
When you were at their house and they were interacting. Also, again, they were doing press together as a couple. They were, like, in public, they were a couple. In every presentation on social media, et cetera, they were a couple. I don't understand this. Like, I thought they were broken up.
The only shred of credence I will give is that it seems like in her head, her and Schwartz were together in private and separate in public. So it makes sense that Tom and Ariana would be together in public, but separate in private.
Maybe.
She goes, maybe that's what is in her head.
She goes, I think it's crazy for anyone to even assume that. I would be like, hey, Sandoval, how's your relationship with Ariana? I'm sick of her voice. I'm sorry. She goes, it wasn't a thing. Like, move on. You move on. Don't tell me to move on.
I don't understand these people that see fucked up shit and don't question it. I don't understand how your brain works.
Yeah.
Because that is immediately where my brain goes. My brain goes, that's fucked up. I need to understand that. I'm going to poke at it.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people's brains don't work like that.
Yeah. We then see Ariana, Katie, James, and Allie go golfing at an establishment that we will not name.
Yeah, fuck that place.
Fuck that place. James brings up Katie kissing Tori and that. And Katie's like, she's going on a date with Schwartz tonight, actually. James is like, was it like Schwartz is going on a date, so I should move in right now? And Katie goes, you guys think I care that much about what Tom does? It's not always about him. She did this also on the after show this week where she was just like, yeah, every single move I make, when I wake up in the morning, what I eat for breakfast, it's all in relation to what I think about Schwartz. Like, I don't like it's not that deep. It's not, it really isn't.
It's, yeah, it's just, no.
Yeah. Katie goes to Ariana, what was going on with you and Lala and Sheena? She goes, they were like, I don't want you to be triggered by him. I'm like, he's literally throwing all kinds of jabs under his breath in full earshot. His voice is fucking annoying as fuck. Which,
yeah.
And Katie goes, I don't know what they're not understanding about this. Like, I'm confused. And I'm like, same girl.
Uh-huh.
Same girl. But like, the fact that, again, the fact that Ariana and Katie, even at this point, when the fans were already at this point with Lala and Sheena, are picking up on the, like, why the fuck are they, like, what is this? Like, this doesn't make any sense. It's not even just a, like, I feel betrayed or, like, I think, you know, whatever. It's not even like an I think this is wrong. It's like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, the thing is they're starting to clock it, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is now the part where Ariana and Katie are starting to clock the rest of the cast being really fucked up about this.
Right.
Because up to this point, it has been in front of Ariana, they're defending her, and when, you know, it's big group things that they'll be like big and explosive and I'm on Ariana's side, and then go off and do separate private things with Tom.
Right.
Now the tides are starting to turn. And at this gathering is where it becomes crystal clear where the line in the sand is. And it is with Ariana and Katie on one side and everyone else on the other.
Yeah. Allie asks about like how the house stuff is going. And Ariana says she sent the counter offer that she her lawyer wrote up. And James goes, so if he rejects your offer, then what happens? And Ariana goes, I mean, in the letter, it says that you have this many days to do this. And if you don't do it, we're prepared to go to court and have the house sold fire sale style. And so obviously they end up going to court because right. Sandoval, it's just so like, guys, he gives a bullshit like letter of intent that's like got no actual like figures to it. Like, yes, Ariana's lawyer took 2 months because they did the work of actually coming up with a proper fucking figure.
Right.
And everything involved with it and all the, like, you know, attachments to it with the furniture and all that stuff, gave that counteroffer. Sandoval ignores that, and then that's why they go to court. So how is this Ariana's fault?
Right, and remind me again, who was it that was yelling at Ariana for not responding to an email in a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Oh, but he lost his assistant. Oh.
Oh, whose fault was that? who fired her?
Yeah.
Was that Maya? Did Maya fire her?
damn you, Maya. You get into fucking paintballs and now this? It's the dog's fault. Allie is like, do you have any idea for like a dream place? And Ara goes, I don't know. I kind of want something that's like kind of like treehouse vibes. And I was, when she said, I was like, oh, and she got that. Because like, yeah. The new house is kind
like,
of that.
It's like nestled up in the trees and it's like a mid-century modern house.
Yeah. So I'm like, so great to see just Ariana thriving in that regard. We then go to Lala and Sheena as they go to Lala's appointment at the sperm bank. It's an appointment, but it's more like just a walkthrough and like discussion about like what the sperm bank is and like what their process is. I mean, it was interesting.
Also,
like,
it was weird that they were sitting in this big empty room with like a couch and two chairs in the corner and everything else was removed from this room.
It was like an office for like a tech giant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it was also an office that they clearly rented out for the day.
Sure.
that's what it felt like.
And this guy, Brian, who heads up the organization, describes about how, like, yeah, we go through, like, you know, psychiatric evaluations for all our donors. And so, like the sperm are going to be healthy and checked out. And so, and also there's, like, clearance to where, like, you know, they won't be, you know, looking for the child. Like insurances, because that's one thing Law is kind of worried about. It's just like not, she does not want a man involved in this whatsoever.
Right.
And she cries in her confessional talking about, like, I pictured my life being like I grew up, you know, my mom and dad in the same household. And I felt like I deeply failed this innocent soul and it wasn't because of me. So I'm not risking that again. And then it's like,
yeah,
here's the thing. Whatever I got to say about Lala this season, I get it. And I think credit to her for doing that, because I think it is, you know, if you can provide the best light possible and a more stable life for a child, then I think that's valuable. So Lala and Sheena then start talking about the beach day. And she's like, dude, the beach was so intense. I'm still hung up on our conversation with Ariana. Lala goes, look, I don't know if she's trying to stand her ground, but you're not going to win this game. Like, the tone of that is like, you don't want her to win the game. You know what I mean? It's just like,
it was almost
you're not
going to
win this game.
Like, you're not going to win this because I'm going to fight you. What?
Yeah. It's like, this is Sandoval you're talking about. Are you rooting for Sandoval? She goes, because it's very simple. Move out. Like, I can't talk about it anymore. You're choosing to stay in the house, so I don't feel bad. If you can't talk about it anymore, then stop bringing it up. You're the one always bringing it up.
Honestly.
When does Ariana unpromptly bring up, like, feel bad for me because I'm in the house with him? When does she use being in the house with him as, like, a cudgel in arguments with Sheena or Lala? When has she done that this whole season?
I have not seen it.
Not fucking once. So, yes, Ariana is perfectly fine, Lala, with you never talking about it again, because the amount you've already fucking talked about it is fucking weird.
Honestly. And actually, at this point, since you can't be bothered to even be connected with them on social media, just keep her name out of your goddamn mouth. How about that?
How about that? And to say, you're choosing to stay in the house so I don't feel bad. Then what was the fucking beach day conversation?
Right.
This is where, if I was Ariana watching this, I'd be like, what the actual fucking fuck? You're comforting me at one point like you understand me, and then you're fucking shitting on me when I'm not in the fucking room.
Literally the next day.
Right, and it's like, again, here's the point. There is trauma in this about what Sandoval did to her, right?
Right.
There is also an added trauma about what Rachel did to her, and the feeling of being betrayed by a best friend, and the feeling of trusting someone, letting them into your personal life in a friendship way, and them stabbing you in the fucking back, talking shit behind your back, doing things to make you look like an idiot behind your fucking back. And guess what, Lala? You're doing a version of that right now.
Yeah.
Again to her.
This is exactly why she said, I do not want to be friends with people who are friends with him. This is why. Because you draw her in and make her trust you again. And then you betray her.
Right.
Again. So she now has to go through this heartbreak again. Like, how do you not fucking get it?
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
Sheena then goes, I think a big part of it is her pride. And she's like, well,
are you fucking, me off.
And she's like, well, I can't go into an apartment. Okay. And Sheena's acting as if Ariana vocalized that, which I guarantee you she never fucking did. Also, Sheena, stop projecting your shallowness onto everyone fucking else. Yes, you would be the person saying, I can't move out to an apartment.
But also, if I remember correctly, Ariana lived with Tom for how many years in that shitty fucking apartment where if you ran the fucking air conditioner and the microwave at the same time, the power went out?
Yeah, but she can't live in an apartment.
No, can't be bothered to live in an apartment.
And then Lala goes, hold on, so your pride is safe with living with the man that cheated on you with your best friend? You'd have more pride moving to Sunset living in a box. Again, you're putting stuff on her that she's never fucking said.
Right.
I'm sick of this. Sheena goes, one day this will be over and it will be make sense as to why it took this long. As if it doesn't make sense to us now, right? As if everyone else isn't fully fucking aware about the situation. It's like, we'll figure this out eventually. Put your two fucking brain cells together, Sheena. Like we're already there. Schwartz then goes to visit Joe at the fucking hair salon. And Joe's going to do Schwartz's hair. Jesus Christ. We'll get to the end result in a bit, but
it's bad.
It's not great. Joe goes, "What did you do last night?" And Schwartz goes, "Well," and Joe goes, "Well," I hate it. Schwartz goes, "I went on a date with Tori," and Joe goes, "Where is this girl coming from? I've never heard of this person." And Schwartz goes, "You know, she's been close with Sheena for like 10 years. Joe then goes, "Oh, well, I'd really like to know why the girls are allowing her to go on a date with you if she's in the friend group." And then Schwartz goes, "No, that went out the window with Katie and Max." She goes, "Oh, Max, super close friend group, way much more in the friend group than me." Here's the craziest thing about this whole section. Joe gets like four things wrong here.
Right.
Tori is not in the friend group.
Right.
She is Sheena's friend that Sheena chose to match with Schwartz. That's not the same thing.
At all.
Two, you know, way more in the, Max is way more in the friend. Well, two, the Max thing is not hypocritical. Anyways. Three, you know, Max, that's way more in the friend group than I am.
It was never about you. It was about Rachel.
Right.
Dumb fuck.
The issue with Katie's issue is not that you were in the friend group.
Nobody likes you. You're not in the friend group. You have to be friends to be in the friend group.
Like, what? Like, it was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's crazy. And then as this is happening, Tori and Katie are going on a painting date, which again was very cute. I just, and they definitely have chemistry. We said it before. I think the age difference is a little like too much in terms of that.
And not in that I think Katie's being predatory at all. No, but like,
No.
I feel like, how are you, where do you relate? Where are the things and the experiences in life in which you can connect with this person? Because Katie is in this place in her life where was in a over a decade long relationship.
Yeah.
In which she was cheated on multiple times and then ended up divorcing this man. And Tori is like 3 seconds out of high school.
Well, it's so funny. She makes a comment during this painting date where she's like, "Yeah," she was like, "We were talking about like Bob Ross with one of my friends." And I was like, "Oh, and they showed me a video." I was like, "Oh, wait, Bob Ross was around when there was video?" And Katie has a look on her face like, this is the Penne conversation all over again.
Yes.
Like,
and that's what I mean.
That's what you're talking about.
It's like, where do you relate? What do you connect on? Other than she's cute and you like to kiss her.
Yeah.
Where's the intellectual connection?
I don't think there's anything beyond that.
Because for Schwartz, I don't think that's important. But for Katie, I know it is.
Yeah.
I know it's important for her. So I don't see this last thing.
She needs a smart person. Like, yes. Not to say that Tori's dumb. But
no,
like,
but Tori's just not had enough experience in the world.
Yeah. And Schwartz says he thinks that Tori prefers Katie, which I think is kind of obvious, actually.
Yeah.
Schwartz then goes, "You know, we're going to the Mondrian for like a singles mixer. Tom didn't want to go alone." And Joe then goes, "Wait, I want to go." And Schwartz goes, "Yeah, you can come." Like, because this again was another moment where I was like, I think you were more right about the Joe thing, where it's like she's putting herself in that.
Because what has Schwartz said 80,000 times since the beginning of last season? He doesn't want to be in a relationship. He wants to take time having fun, but really just being by himself.
Yes, but he's also kind of wavered in part. I would argue he's wavered in parts about that. Like, I feel Schwartz is highly inconsistent.
Sure. 1,000%. He always has been.
Yeah.
But that is the one definite thing he has said since he broke up with Katie.
Sure, I guess. The ladies...
Correction. Since Katie broke up with him.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you. Let's put that on record forever. The ladies go out on like a girls' night at a bar. Oh my God, the way the camera's like sort of like does this like cinematic shot with them, and the way Ariana is like mean mugging like she's on a runway. It was...
Yes.
Now,
if we could just crop out the bitches on either side.
Basically. It was fantastic. Ariana asked Katie about her date with Tori, and Lala's like, was it weird that the night before she was like on a date with your ex-husband? And Katie's like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. And Lala's like, I mean, it can't be any weirder than banging his best friend. And Katie goes, Tequila Katie is a hoe. He can have Joe. There's no competition there. It was great. So as this is happening, then we also cut over to singles night at the Mondrian. Swartz takes off his hat to reveal his hair, so people were like, did they, because I guess it's a common thing with like bleaching. They didn't put, everyone's like, did they not do the purple shampoo?
They
did when you watch it back.
They did, but not enough. Well, part of it is that if you look at it, they didn't bleach it enough. They went to like orange.
Yeah.
There were sections that were still orange. They should have left the lightener on for longer. There's no toning you can do to switch it from orange to blonde.
Yeah.
So like there are parts of it that lighten to platinum when you get the toner on there, right? But there are so it just kind of looks patchy.
Right.
And it's just
bad. And also with his style that he's loving this season, like these like collared, like shirt, these collared, what would you call them? Not dress shirts, but like
polos.
Like polos. He's doing these like collared polo things.
But they're like weird knit things.
Yeah. And it's like, it gives off this like prep school-y vibe that's not like attractive whatsoever.
No.
It's really weird. Sandoval shows up with his new assistant, Craig, he looks like an 80s used car salesman. Who is this guy? This guy's an assistant?
Jeez.
How is he an assistant?
He needed someone to validate his bro-y shit.
Right. Yeah.
That's what he hired him for.
Some guy, right? Yeah. I guarantee you he doesn't do jack shit.
No, probably not.
Like, ugh, man.
But that, you know, I can guarantee you he doesn't do jack shit, because the only reason that Anne did so much is because she was a woman.
Sure. Sandoval goes, they're all sitting together. Sandoval goes, you guys are both single, right? And both Joe and Schwartz go, yeah, like simultaneously. And it's like, that's confusing as well.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But that's like, is Joe performing that? Is it because Joe is making like Schwartz is like, I feel like Schwartz is hiding our relationship, and so okay, is she like being like, well, I'm being a team player.
You can't be like, I feel like I feel like Schwartz is hiding our relationship when you are actively the one hiding your relationship. It's not like he said no, we're single, and then you agreed with him after the fact. You said it together.
Yeah.
You were both on the same page.
Schwartz then goes, I went on a date last night with Tori. And Joe goes, she's weird. And she's never met Tori, by the way, I don't think. And then she just starts fingering his hair more. It's stage five clinger.
Yeah. Well, and then even what's the guy that was sitting next to Sandoval's name?
Probably. Oh, Kyle Chan, probably?
Yes, it's Kyle. He's like, well, that's how to not get him a date. Because she's like constantly fixing his hair and like mothering him. And it's like, what
Kyle
are you
Chan
doing?
Kyle Chan says that later too, of like, you need to distance yourself from Joe to like, you know, mac on these ladies or whatever. Sandoval then says in his confessional, Swartz and Joe are like two different pages. Joe is looking at their situationship as like a glass half full relationship, and Schwartz, just being Schwartz, is going to give off mixed signals. It's like his superpower. He's so charming all the time. I think this was the point where I was like, fuck Schwartz. This is the point where I was in that mode.
Sure.
And I understand this is Sandoval saying that, but this is my frustration with the framing, is that like, Joe is looking at this situationship, which the whole idea of a situationship is so fucking stupid when you're fucking 40 years old, dude.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Like that's not normal. I'm sorry. And then,
well, tell that to Giselle Bryant. She was doing the same shit.
Well, but like, the thing is, like, Sandoval's like, Joe's looking at this as like a glass half full relationship, and Schwartz is just being Schwartz. I'm sorry. The excuse of Schwartz is just being Schwartz, I'm fucking sick of.
He has agency here too.
Yeah. He has the ability to be fucking clear with his fucking intentions with someone.
Yeah. Now, I do think he has been clear in that he has repeatedly said, I do not want a relationship. However, I think that when you are following that up with quote unquote friend dates,
yeah,
that are just you and her, and you are probably still sleeping together.
I'm doing the Phaedra
figure of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to get mixed messages. You know what I mean?
But I also think that she sees it for what it is and then is actively, because she gives the vibe of single white female.
Yeah, 1,000%.
It's scary. I guarantee you she has a shrine. There's a collection of his shit in a box somewhere that she has squirreled away from his apartment.
And the way that
it's creepy.
The way she sought out Schwartz in the beginning, like through Katie, through Kristen, where it's like gives off that vibe, I think, a lot. You know what I mean? They go back to the girls' night. Lala then goes, you know, I had lunch at a hot dog stand with her yesterday talking about Joe. And Katie goes, wait, what? You were just not going to tell me this? And the way Lala goes, yeah, I'm just now telling you. Like, really, like, bitchy? The idea that Katie can't be mad here is so ridiculous to me, because it's just like, why are you springing this on me that you had this conversation with this person that you have no knowledge of other than the fact that she fucked me over?
Like, yeah.
Katie goes, how did this happen and why? Lala goes, she just wanted to share her side of things. Katie goes, you don't have any relationship with this girl. You don't know this girl. This girl's nothing to you. I'm something to you. Why do you have to go and feel bad for this chick? Lala then goes, I went and had a conversation. You act like I went and told her, come swimming with my child. I had noticed this here and on the after show.
Yep.
Lala does it later. It's like, I had a hot dog with her. I didn't invite her to Thanksgiving dinner. This whole like catastrophizing thing where she's like, I just did this that you are clearly upset about, but I didn't murder someone. I didn't fucking, you know, do this incredibly unrealistic, like intense thing.
Who does that remind you of?
Who does that all the fucking time? Tom Sandoval. All the fucking time.
I guarantee you she's going to start showing up places with gifts at some point.
Yeah. This is where Lala also made me fucking lose it. She in her confessional goes, Joe is fucking harmless. She doesn't seem like someone who's going to try to roll up here and va-voom, fuck your man. Like, she just doesn't seem that way. When I say vaginas don't just fall on dicks, I actually think that Joe and Schwartz, vaginas may have just fell on dicks. This is, like, Lala, this isn't, like, you just have a, like, you're just saying you don't think Joe creeped up to get to Schwartz because you just have a feeling. Because of her personality, right? She just comes off as the type of person that wouldn't do some like snaky shit to swoop in on a man. Hey, Lala, quick question. Last year, who could you have also said that same thing about? Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
The same fucking thing.
Same thing. Now, you could argue that Rachel was a pageant participant, not a pageant queen. We won't say queen. Because she didn't win anything, but ever. But she, like, participated in some pageants and theoretically was a... I'm trying to draw a difference,
but there's not really one. She's just so sweet and innocent, and she doesn't know any... And she's like a little girl. Like, this...
Because you can't say...
It's the same argument.
You can't say that Rachel is a va-va-va-voom type of person.
Right.
And let me clue you in on something. Men like Sandoval go after women like that.
Yeah.
Because they're easy targets.
And also, but again, like, this is just your, I'm not to be like certain people, but it's like facts don't care about your feelings, Lala. You have a feeling about Joe, but there are facts of things that happened that Joe did. And so therefore, those trump just like a sense about Joe. It's like you're not this, you've never been this dumb. You've honestly never been this dumb, Lala.
Yeah.
Lala goes, Schwartz gave me your name because I'm in a soft place. And Katie goes, why? Lala goes, because I'm soft right now, Katie. I'm soft. But Katie points out on the after show, you can say you're soft, but you're not being soft to us.
Yeah.
It's like, it'd be one thing if you were soft across the fucking board. That's not even what the situation is. It's like, and then Lala then goes, so he has a girl who is his friend, girlfriend. I don't fucking know that, you know, that I've met. And I see my other friend calling her a crackhead.
Not what happened.
This, I think, set like flashing lights in Katie's head. I think this woke Katie up. And
because she started adopting all of the narratives.
It's like all the talking points.
Yeah.
Right. And then Katie goes, so now Schwartz is the whatever and I'm the bad one. Okay, Lala. And then Lala goes, you're treating me like I'm the bad one. Katie goes, Lala, I see what you're doing. Oh, Schwartz is so great. 1 minute Schwartz is the worst because of this and that. He played pickleball with Randall. Like, Katie's going in on Lala. She's like, because she sees this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Katie goes, it's not making a lot of sense. Lala then goes, I don't care. It's not my job for my life to make sense to you.
But it's Ariana's job for her not moving out of that house and just letting Tom have it. That has to make sense to you.
You are practically expecting Ariana to give you her 401k and to give her her tax information and like all of it. Her like utility bills, everything at this point. You are expecting so much transparency from Ariana. But when Katie is like, your actions are not making sense right now to like who I know you as and like how like you would be as a friend to me. You're just like, not my problem. This is so frustrating. So it's
if this was anyone else and Lala was in Katie's shoes right now, Lala would be ripping them to shreds.
Yeah.
Tearing because their actions don't make sense. But now she doesn't have to make sense to anyone else.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Katie goes, I like people that are consistent. And Sheena goes, I think she's been pretty fucking consistent for you, Katie. Katie goes, it doesn't feel consistent to me. Lala then goes, you weren't best friends with Joe. You weren't best friends with Raquel. And we're still holding on real tight. At some point, you gotta let it go. And if you want to hold on to it, that's on you. I wish you the best. Hope all is good with you. And the look on Katie and Ariana's face was almost of like, what the fuck has happened?
Yeah. This is where I was talking about the line was drawn in the sand. Because it is very clear at this point. I feel like Ariana and Katie both are like, okay, this is it.
Right.
Everyone has decided that they are on Tom's side and they are going to just push us out of the friend group.
Like, and Lala has the gall on her podcast in real time to say that we, the fans, are rewriting history. Like you are literally arguing the complete opposite position of the shit that you were arguing last season. And that shit should not change because you went to therapy and you're getting softer.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
It literally makes none.
To say you weren't a close friend to Raquel. You fucking advocated for her so fucking hard last season because you knew that what Raquel did was wrong.
Yeah. You and fucking James sat over there and heckled the entire fucking reunion.
Yeah. It's like, how the fuck are you able to just like act as though you didn't fucking make those arguments before? Like it frustrates me so fucking much. Like how... And I've defended Lala a lot. There were a lot of people who were very anti-Lala before any of this season, and I was very much like, I don't see this. And it's like, they really are like, it's really on full display.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's mingling at singles night. This girl, Gabby, then comes up to kind of like flirt with Schwartz a little bit. She's like, let me see your hair.
Not even flirt. Like, this is aggressive.
Yeah, she was like going to like fuck him on the dance floor or something. Gabby goes, can I have your hat? And Schwartz is like, yeah, I just need it back because it's kind of sentimental. And then Joe comes up and goes, wait, you gave her the hat? Oh, no, you don't have another one. And Schwartz is like, yeah, I've got like a warehouse though of it. It's like, and Joe's like, oh, okay. Woo! Like weird. And then... I'm literally blocked. Like, there's clips of Sandoval flirting, but I literally blocked it out of my memory. He's talking about like his tattoos with like the A.
Wasn't he supposed to get that removed?
I could have sworn he did, but whatever. I don't care at this point. Gabby goes, are you single? And Schwartz is like, yeah, I'm single. And she's like, are you sure? And Kyle Chan's like, she doesn't believe you. Schwartz goes, I'm a makeout slut. And Gabby goes, you never kissed anyone like me. And then they make out. Joe then walks up with like a like sort of like jig. Like, I'm so like,
it was like a parent who knows their teenage kid is fucking in the bedroom and is like pounding the door down, except there was no door.
Yeah. She goes, "What in tarnation? I'm heading out. Enjoy. Have fun." And she's very upset. Joe in her confessional goes, "I was just under the impression that we were here to support Tom Sandoval. And then when we got here, he was like interested in other women. I mean, like, what am I, chopped liver?" Joe leaves out the door and Schwartz goes, Joseph, which I'm like, oh my God, that's his new Bubba.
Yeah.
Every time he would like piss Katie off and Katie would, you know, take herself out of the situation, Bubba, don't walk away, Bubba. It's the same thing. I'm sick of it. Schwartz goes in his confessional, "You know, maybe it's not realistic to be as close as me and Joe are and still date other people, you know, have sex with other people. I'm starting to wonder if she's in a little deeper than I am, you know?" And then they cut to Joe's confessional. And Joe goes, "I know the truth. And the truth is, we're still hooking up. We said I love you to each other. It bothers me that he doesn't really want to share this relationship with his friends. And I'm tired of feeling like a secret." So if they are still at this point fucking... Because I believe Schwartz has kind of pegged it as like, we had a friends with benefits moment, and now we're in friendship stage.
And see, I think that that's what it could be interpreted as. But technically, he said we had a romantic thing, and that didn't work out. Does not mean they stopped fucking.
Right. I get, but also to say you love you to each other. I say
I love you to friends.
I just think
but this is the thing. I think he is banking on that being indefinite. It is that sort of thing where he can know he's playing on her emotions and keeping her there so that he has a constant source of sex.
Yeah.
But he's also not committing to her because, number one, he doesn't want to be committed to anyone. And number two, he gets to go dip his dick wherever he wants.
Right.
But I also think she knows exactly what's going on. She knows that that's exactly what it is. And she's willing to go with it because she liked him so much.
That's probably true. I think there's multiple truths to this is my thing. I think there's like multiple, and I'm just in the mode of like, fuck Schwartz.
Yeah.
I told you this. I can't get out of that mode.
Here's the thing. They're both awful humans and they both played their part in this willingly. That's where I'm at.
Sure. We go to the paintballing event that Sandoval is like putting together. There's not much here. Like in terms of like the actual paintballing, I didn't give an ounce of shit about any like Sandoval event. I was like, the only thing I noticed is like Sandoval, of course, was taking it way too seriously. He's like, "Okay, guys, like, dude, do not group up. Whatever you do, do not group up. You always have to separate." And like, he's like acting like it's like he's in war and he's like the first one to get out.
Which is hilarious. And he was complaining. He was like, "It only hit my toe."
Yeah.
"Not really, shouldn't be getting out, but okay, whatever."
It's terrible.
The only thing that was worth looking at in this whole scene was, again, Brock walking away in the short, tight shorts. But again, the second Brock opens his mouth, you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And he's got a brain that's like behind there. And I'm like, I don't like any of the things that's in that brain. So
James is also convinced that the reason Schwartz dyed his, like bleached his hair was because he was getting grays and he kept like doing darker browns to like try to cover it up. So he was like, let me just go blonde.
I mean, maybe.
Possibly.
But who cares?
I mean, yeah, it shouldn't be. I think it's funny to mock Schwartz about that because Schwartz sucks. But, you know. So Lala, Sheena, and Allie are at a table talking. And Lala's like, such a weird group today. They're like 12-year-olds here. One of them said he's 23 and he met Sandoval and they go out together. But then they're like, okay, anyways, here's why Katie's a bitch. Like, it's so, like, Sandoval's hanging out with like 23-year-olds is like to go out partying, but like we're just getting Norad because they talk about girls' night and how Lala and Katie got into it. Lala goes, talking to Katie, she got really upset and she said, "I like loyalty and consistency." And I'm like, hold the fuck up. Loyalty, coming from the girl who just fucked her ex's best friend. I tweeted this. I honestly think we should do an investigation at this point. Did Lala get a concussion before this season?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, something. Because in what fucking world does Katie O. Schwartz a drop of loyalty?
Simply an ex-husband, right? In just a general sense, an ex-husband. But particularly Schwartz.
Right. Particularly after the Rachel thing.
And to compare... I just... Lala then goes, and I know my friend is unhappy, and I've tried to baby her, but I'm not going to be on the receiving end of you going crazy. That is so gross. And I'm so, you didn't baby Katie, okay? You had her fucking back, and the only reason you perceive it as babying is because Katie was getting the fucking shit emotionally wrecked out of her all last fucking season. She had multiple people disrespecting her to her fucking face.
Yep.
Not just her, also her fucking mother.
Yep.
So I'm so sorry, Lala, you had to baby Katie because she was going through a rough fucking time.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Katie, she says now one, Katie was never there for me. Ariana was never there for me. Bull fucking shit. Bull fucking shit. It's like, when fucking Schwartz was going to pickleball with Randall, they had your fucking back. When you were being attacked for the mistress stuff, they had your fucking back. Fuck off, Lala. I'm like, ooh, I'm sick of it. Really.
It's just, I feel like she has just decided it is more important to save the show than it is to save these
friendships.
But
you're not saving the show.
No, I know. I think she has been told by Sandoval, this is the only way to save the show. More of us are on my side than they are on theirs. We pushed them out. We still have a cast.
You picked wrong, Lala. You picked wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Then we see Joe at Schwartz's apartment. Well, I guess it's her apartment, too, because she's living there. And Schwartz walks in. Joe does that stupid fucking toothy smile, like tuck your bottom lip under your teeth. I hate it. At least when she does it. It's just like, oh, God. Schwartz goes, what happened the other night? I'm a little confused. Am I sending you mixed signals? Like, all shot. Like, fuck off. Fuck off. I hate that he plays dumb. He goes, because I know we've had, this undeniable chemistry. That being said, I don't want to be in a relationship at all. Joe goes, do you imagine how I feel being around you for the past year and a half? We've been there for each other. Schwartz goes, yeah, I know, but... And then Joe goes, but, shut the fuck up. It was like she was kind of like... It was like she was playing Katie, but not as well. This is how Katie would like check him, but Katie was always in the Katie wouldn't just be like, shut the fuck up. They perceived that that's what Katie did, but that's never what Katie did. Katie would be dragged to a point in which she would have to blow up on Schwartz.
Yeah.
When trying to have a normal conversation, she goes, are you embarrassed by me? Schwartz goes, no, not at all, Joseph. I actually think he is to a certain extent.
I would. I am, and I don't even know the bitch.
That's fair. Schwartz is like, people are saying that you're saying behind closed doors that we're like secretly dating. I mean, if you're talking about the confessional, yeah. But also she's not saying that to Lala. It is strange. Schwartz goes, is it okay that we keep like hanging? And Joe goes, no, it's not. Schwartz goes, maybe we need to not hang out as much. And Joe goes, or at all. And Schwartz goes, well, that's fine too. And it was so like strange to me. Like, and it was like, okay, Joe is basically being like, okay, we need to cut this off completely. Right.
Right.
This is why I was like, okay, Joe's kind of being more responsible than Schwartz in a way. She doesn't end that way. But like, that's how I felt in the beginning. They then move on to the couch and Schwartz is just like, I just want to have fun. And Joe goes, we got it. Nah, 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 like doing the like shutting his mouth sort of thing. Like, and Joe goes, would you say we have a really weird connection? Schwartz goes, yeah, we do. Joe goes, it's so easy. You know what I mean? Like us together would be easy. And this is where you were like, she's doing the like cut off. And then it's like, then kind of like play into a, like we would be so easy together.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's like, that is like,
well, I feel like she, because now from a logical outside standpoint, right? Schwartz never fought for Katie.
Yeah.
We know this. We have eyes. But I think Schwartz thinks he fought for Katie.
Yeah, he tries to say
and
that.
And that is probably the same way that Joe has interpreted that situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why is Joe doing Joe pretending to be Katie in this moment?
Yeah.
To get him to fight for her.
Right. It feels like there were parallels in this scene, but I do think the parallels were forced.
Yes.
Right.
But that's what I mean. She's bad at it.
Yeah.
And also, he never fought for Katie, so he's not going to fight for you, bitch.
Well, and it's so
he doesn't want you.
Because Joe goes, so that's why I needed, you know, some time, because I think deep down I still have feelings for you. And Schwartz goes, yeah, same for me.
You are nothing more than a Kleenex with a face to him.
Well, yeah. And then Joe starts crying and goes, I would never pressure you. You know that. Which I was like, oh, people are going to use it as like, well, Katie pressured Schwartz, right? Because they do that all the time with Katie.
Right.
She pressured him to get married, etc. And like, look at Joe, the actual like girl's girl or guy's girl or whatever, like not pressuring Schwartz. But she is pressuring him.
Yeah.
This whole conversation is pressuring. And then Schwartz goes, Joseph, are you okay? Look, you can take Butters. And then Joe just walks up and goes, I want to call my dad. Like, it seems like a fourth wall because you see the cameraman at one point, and she just kind of leaves out the door, and Schwartz goes, Joseph, come back, Joseph. Yeah. And it's like,
this is what she wants.
Yeah. This saga, this episode with Joe and Schwartz was just exhausting to me. I was just like, I don't know who to trust, and so therefore I don't feel emotionally invested in it.
And I'm just irritated. And honestly, I don't trust either of them. I feel like both of them are lying to us. I don't think that they're even in cahoots in their lies.
Yeah.
I think they're lying to each other as well.
And that's weird. And Joe is basically kind of selling out Schwartz on Rachel's podcast and being like, yeah, Schwartz was kind of like called out for his lies. And so it's like, but he's like, Joe's like, but I love him though. And it's like, what is that? I don't get it. Well, fucking get it.
She's even doing that in confessionals.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's a recent change of heart. That's how she's felt this whole time.
Yeah. It's I'm over it. I don't care. I really don't care about their.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. That was Vanderpump Rules for this week. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of The Valley. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Man.
That's right.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And if you're anything like us, you live your life out loud.
And when it comes to issues of discrimination, inequity, and outright bigotry, we use every platform we have to speak out against systems of oppression that perpetrate violence against marginalized groups.
That's why we are so proud to wear designs from the Survivors Know merch store. Their team has created designs that feature unapologetic, empowering, and survivor-centered messaging that range from mild,
like accountability is love and toxicity is not on the menu,
to a little more spicy,
like one of my favorites, fuck your laws, fuck your system, transformative justice now, which has a cute little happy flower on it.
Each design is available on a variety of items, from t-shirts and hoodies to bags, blankets, magnets, and even stickers. And as more items become available, the options will continue to grow.
100% of the proceeds go back into supporting the amazing work done at Survivors Know to support survivors, workers, and survivor advocates by organizing, challenging the status quo, and creating alternatives to the systems that fail us.
Support Survivors Know by shopping today at SurvivorsKnow.threadless.com.
That's SurvivorsKnow.threadless.com.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at SidekickMediaServices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His MB. Let's head back to the valley where Michelle accidentally says the quiet part out loud and then gives a condescending backhand to Kristen as she's trying to apologize yet again on the valley.
This episode of the valley was slightly confusing. Not confusing. It was still like, you know, there were still parts in it that was like, ooh, this is, you know, an interesting thing. But there was definitely a part towards the end of the dinner of what we left off on where I was just like, what the, like, I am confused on whose motivation is what and, like, who I'm supposed to be hating. And
it's
like,
confusing. Well, the only thing I'm not confused about is that Zach is the person that has orchestrated all of this.
You think he's, so you don't think it's Janet?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it's Janet that it, here's the thing.
I also don't think it's Janet, but I was just curious.
No, I think Zach is...
Zach's an evil gay.
Okay.
Let's just say yes. Zach is an evil gay.
But let's get through this dinner, and then I will give you my opinion on Zach.
Yeah, that hairline is a villain hairline.
It's like you could connect it to his eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's just, no, it's bad.
Yeah. We're picking up from the fight at the Capri dinner, and Luke is just like, look, I'm not going to be a part of this, and starts to walk off, and Michelle goes, you should go, and Janet goes, bye. Michelle says, and you know what? Well, okay, because Kristen pulls like this, like sort of, Kristen has this like, she sometimes does this like sad face that's like very particular, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's like performative, I think it's genuine, but she does like this sort of like drop, it's hard to describe, but Michelle goes, and you know what? That face right there is why nobody feels sorry for you, because now you're trying to make it seem like you're the victim. But you know what you're doing? You have made me the victim.
What?
The victim off. And then Kristen goes, all because of him, looking at Zach, and Zach does another shock face again.
I swear, the amount of times this man pulls the shocked Pikachu face is wild.
Yeah. Michelle goes, in her confessional, I feel like an asshole for having to say that I am not racist, and it's because a crazy person didn't want to feel attacked anymore, so she decided to attack me. Which, that last part I get. Like, it's like, that's the frustration. It's like, you felt cornered, and so you fucking, like, threw gasoline on people who had no part in why you were being cornered.
Yeah, because, like, what was happening between her and Michelle in that fight?
Nothing.
When this happened?
Nothing. It was about Jax and about Jax bringing Alex to the fucking guys' night, which had nothing to do with Michelle or Janet or Jasmine or fucking Zach.
Right. There's missing footage. What's happening?
I don't know. Kristen goes, I am so sorry to both of you that I reacted the way I did and that I even fucking opened my mouth. And you know me, Michelle, better than that. And Michelle goes, I thought I did. Kristen goes, are you joking? I've done nothing but protect you. And everyone goes, what? Like, and Jason in his confessional goes, it immediately begs the question, what are you protecting her from? And so there's this stuff later that comes up from Kristen about, like, Kristen is apparently doing this a lot with Michelle about the I'm protecting you thing, which, again, when you say it all the time, it makes me side-eye the situation.
Yes, but Michelle, in this fight, literally talks about how the issue is bringing it up on camera.
Right.
Not talking about it behind her back.
Yes, but
not knowing these things, not these things being true or not. It's that you brought it up on camera.
Oh, you're talking about the racist thing. Yes.
Well, yes, but I also think that
but
part of me is like, I believe that Kristen is holding secrets on her. I believe that she has gone to Kristen and talked shit about her fucking shitty ass husband.
Well, yeah, when Michelle's later, like, I don't even know what she's talking about. I think she's lying. Don't get me wrong. I think Kristen is telling the truth on everything. I'm just saying it doesn't make off as a good friend if you're Kristen to be like, I am protecting. It's like, it's kind of like the Real Housewives of Orange County thing where she's in the whole vault, right? The you know, there's things in the vault. But yeah, if Heather the Bro kept talking like incessantly throughout the season, like, Shannon, I have kept things in the vault for you. There are things in a vault that are like if Heather were to have kept repeating that in like conversations on camera, it's just as bad as saying what they are.
Sure, But when that is how you have shown up for someone as a friend, by holding their secrets, and then they turn around and act like you're not being a good friend, I'm going to warn you on camera.
Sure.
In a way that not only exhibits how good of a friend I've been, but also how bad of a friend I can be if you don't stop being a bitch.
I think
that
just,
is how I am.
Because fine, but I think it just makes the situation worse.
Sure, but if you go low, I go to hell. I'm that petty. Sure.
The argument is that Kristen went low, but whatever. Danny then goes, where did all this come from? This is the first time Danny spoke in this fight, and Nia like covertly tells Danny, like, quiet. We don't need another voice in this.
Just enjoy the show.
Yeah. Jesse then, because of course Jesse's going to go low. Jesse goes, you need to grow up a little bit, and I'm not being an asshole about it, which is,
yeah, you are.
Which is stuff assholes always say. But you're doing the same shit over and over again, expecting a different result. We're having conversations with the both of you about starting a family. You need to learn some lessons. And Kristen goes, don't even. Like what? That was nasty to bring up, like, the family. Jesse goes fucking low.
But also, Jesse, I don't want your opinions, thoughts, recommendations on being a parent. Because you aren't one.
Sure.
You are a sperm donor.
Yeah. Luke gets upset and goes, let's go, Kristen. Jax is like, look, we're all attacking one person here. Like, this isn't cool to do. Jack goes, oh, I'm sorry. She was attacking me first. It's like, okay, Zach. this is where Kristen does it to herself. Again, I feel. She goes, how the fuck dare you guys bring up this racist ass shit, too? And everyone goes, really, Kristen? Like, that was the stupidest thing for Kristen to say.
Honestly.
Like, bitch, you brought up the... Whatever. Jasmine Leary turns attack and goes, I can't. Like, am I the crazy one here? What the fuck? Janet goes, the word racist came in when Kristen started talking. And then Luke goes, I was confused by Luke.
She goes,
it came in when you started talking about Zach. That's the first time racist came up. I heard it on the phone. What?
That confused me too.
Because what? How the on the phone is Zach calling Kristen and Luke to be that part in the telephone, right?
Right.
That we're talking about. Janet didn't mention the word racist to Luke. So how can Luke be like, the racist came up with you, Janet? I was on the phone, but you were on the phone. Like, that's still a telephone. That's still right.
But even then, I feel like. There's a conversation that was had that we aren't aware happened.
Yeah.
Who was in that conversation? When did it happen?
Yeah, is it a different conversation? Because, like, that's where I was just like, what the fuck is happening?
Like, because that sounds like, to me, after Zach brought that to Luke and Kristen, mm-hmm. there was another phone call with Zach, Luke, Kristen, and Janet.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. Because why would Kristen be on the phone with Janet?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Unless there was a conversation between Zach and Janet that Zach secretly three-wayed Kristen onto.
Oh my God, I can't, like, it's just, it's, I'll watch it play out. But, like, I can't, like, I
it's,
can't.
It's the Mean Girl shit, right? Where they do that secret three-way phone call so that they can catch one saying the thing about the other.
But then why wouldn't Luke say that?
Because Luke may not be aware.
Maybe he is
and he just didn't say it clearly because he was angry. But like, I don't know. There's something.
Almost no one is making sense other than Kristen.
Right.
Jax goes in his confessional, I think there's an element of truth in what they're all saying. But Janet and I are very similar. She likes to spew some shit, and then she'll sit back and watch them tear it down. I think Janet is a silent killer. I think Jax was talking out of his ass with this, personally.
I think that's how Jax moves, and I think he sees himself and everyone else because he's an egomaniac.
Right, and I think like Jax loves to throw a label out there, and if something happens that is even like off, he's like, well, I nailed it. I was right. And it's like, no, dude, I'm sorry. Like, maybe Janet is a silent killer, but like, I don't get that vibe from her.
I don't at all.
Michelle, Kirsten and Luke are like almost by the door. Michelle goes, stands up and goes, suck it up, sit down, say you're sorry and say no one said that. And Kirsten goes, so I have to pretend that I made it up. And Michelle goes, yes!
This is what I'm saying. So she has to pretend. This is about the cameras. This has nothing right. to do with whether these conversations were happening behind everyone's back.
It's not about getting to the truth.
The issue is that you brought it up on camera.
Well, and that's the thing. Like Michelle, the reason Michelle is demanding that Kristen say no one ever said that is because that's the only way that any
she's
of
absolved.
It, that she's absolved and any of it goes away. Of like, oh, the whole racist thing was just made up. Like, it can't be that it came from anything.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't think she even wants to broach the idea of, like, the possible conversation about the... And she doesn't... I don't think Michelle knows this at this point, but, like, the don't say gay conversation and what that... Like, she wants it to be... This is... Like, she genuinely wants it to be... Kristen is a crazy person who had, like, a psychotic break and just made up this story. And then, like you know, and it's just like that's...
Yes.
As a... Like, it's a tactic, right? But as a viewer, that's not believable. You know what I mean?
Especially because we've seen Zach admit to this conversation happening.
Right. And Janet at least admit to that it was spawned from something, right?
Right.
So it's like there's something there. And Kristen's like, it's bullshit. I'm the one getting solely attacked right now, which I agree. It's like no one's like it's just strange. It's really strange. Jack tells Kristen to handle it with Zach or whatever, and they go outside to talk. Brittany's like, you just talk and figure it out. Again, I was still upset that Brittany didn't speak up at the dinner, like what you were mentioning before about, like, you were there for the conversation with Zach. Why is that not being brought up?
Yeah. Well, and the frustrating thing is that Brittany was there for both ends of the conversation.
Yeah.
Brittany was there for the conversation between Kristen and Zach, but she was also there with the original conversation between Michelle and Janet.
Right. She was there for it all. And it's like...
And she ain't saying a goddamn thing. She's just sitting there with her beer cheese.
Yeah.
And that's all she's doing.
Kristen goes, Kristen's like crying, goes, I am so beyond disappointed in you. I don't even fucking know you. I understand it. I hurt a lot of people, but I am not a liar. Zach then goes, you are right. Now trying to take, I was trying to focus on my gay voice. I misread things. You are right now trying to take zero responsibility. I'm taking responsibility for, yes, I said things to you and I admitted it on camera, which is also a weird wall break, right? Like right. I had this conversation with you on, but that's not we're having a dinner right now with multiple other people.
Well, and that's what irritates me is that this will happen. This happens across Bravo, right? People will say, well, yeah, I had that conversation with you on camera.
Yeah.
But then not admit it in the group of friends, because if you said it on camera, then by the time anybody has a chance to actually hold your feet to the fire, nobody's actively angry anymore.
Right.
You don't want to face the music today.
It's literally like, you are taking no responsibility, Kristen. I am taking responsibility because I said a thing on camera that Michelle will not see until this fucking season airs.
Right.
It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Zach goes, and for that, I take full responsibility, and I am very sorry. We all say shit behind other people's backs, so you are not fully to blame. But then he goes, but what was that tonight at the table? Like, you literally just steamrolled me. You didn't even go after Janet. And that was, I was like, oh, here we go. They, like, this is what it is.
This is what I'm saying. This man is orchestrating the whole thing. So this is my thought process, right? Okay. I know I have, like, laid out a thought process before, but this has changed it. This conversation changed it. The chain happened as previously described. Janet had the conversation with Michelle, then spoke about that to Jasmine, who spoke about it to Zach, who then misconstrued everything on purpose and then took it to Kristen. This whole thing has been, from the beginning, a ploy to quote-unquote take Janet down, but it's not about Janet. It's about Kristen.
We need a whiteboard. God damn it. Like,
it's about making Kristen look crazy.
Because, you know, good go-to.
But it's easy to point Kristen at Janet because there's already beef.
Okay.
So he took this situation, fed it to Kristen, knowing that Kristen will use it because her name is Kristen Doty, and let her go. And in person with the conversation with Kristen, it's about getting Janet and about exposing Janet, right? But in reality, it's about turning everyone on Kristen.
Okay. This is like so 3D chess for me that I'm like, I'm
but that's hurts. That's this man moves that way.
That's probably true. Also, the weird thing was, like, they're having this conversation. Janet's listening behind, like, not even pretty out in the open, but she's kind of like, there is a little, like, smirk in her face of just, like, I'm listening, which kind of, like, I feel like the editors wanted to, like, give Jax a little bit of, like, moment of, like, maybe Janet is the puppet master or whatever the fuck. And then so Zach goes, in his confessional, Janet's the instigator of it all, and somehow she's smelling like roses in all of this and controlling the entire narrative and the situation. It's like, there's nothing controlled in this narrative, first off. So,
no.
Like, let's ignore that. Janet sits down and goes to Kristen, I actually think that Janet would love to hear what you just said about you taking responsibility. Kristen goes, I don't think Janet wants to hear any of this because she has a baby to protect right now. Janet goes, since when do you care about that? Kristen goes, don't even. Are you joking? Kristen mentions, I don't know if she mentions it in, oh yeah, she has mentioned in the episode that, like, Janet kind of plays the baby card a lot, that she's, like, pregnant, and so therefore, which I don't also see at all.
She said it a couple times.
I guess, maybe. But, like, I don't think it's, like, in to avoid, like, she wasn't saying it at the table here where she was being, like, confronted, right? Like,
no.
She said it, like, she, like, Kristen was the one that brought up the baby thing in the first place. Anyways, whatever. I don't know. I'm Team Janet on this. And then Janet goes, you have to put words in my mouth that are untrue. And Kristen goes, it is what was told to me. Jason then goes, you have to go from A to B to C to get to D. You're saying there was enough information that you maybe gave Kristen, he's talking to Zach, that you maybe gave Kristen, that she translated that and didn't make up something out of thin air. And the way Zach goes, oh my God, your semantics are literally turning me on right now. It's like, okay.
But also avoiding the question.
Yeah, he doesn't answer.
Because he knows that that's exactly the truth.
Yeah.
He knows that that's exactly what it is. And he knows that that would expose him as the catalyst of this, so he dodges it.
Yeah. And Janet tells Kristen, I need time and space to just digest all of this. And so the party dissipates and stuff like that. And we're just left in this, like, weird, chaotic place. Okay. We then go to Jackson Brittany's house, and they're with her mom, with Cruz as well. And so Brittany talks about how they're getting Cruz into a speech therapy course, essentially, because they were a little worried that, like, he had been progressing really well with some of his speech and was saying, like, mama and dada and, like, words and, like, moving forward. And then he regressed one day and has kind of gone a little nonverbal. I wanted to leave it to you here on this because the speech therapist later comes, Miss Story, and they do, like, a little session. You were immediately, like, there was a moment where you were like, oh, I know what this is.
This feels like the TISM.
Yeah.
But it also, not just the TISM, right? It also feels like a trauma response.
Yeah, you were saying that part of the reason why he could have regressed in speech was, I would assume, based off of how Jax and Brittany end up, that there's a lot of tension in the house, right?
Right.
And they talk a little bit later about how, like, they're in a kind of a rough place because they're not having sex. Brittany says they're only having sex, like, twice a year.
Right.
Like, and so you were saying, like, in a place where there is a lot of tension, if you are autistic, you have a tendency to, like...
Yes. So let me touch on the maybe he's autistic thing. When we see him playing with the speech therapist and stuff, he's actively directing all the bunnies the same way.
Yeah, you
to face the same way. A lot of what play looks like for an autistic child is lining things up, putting things in order, making sense, making order out of chaos.
And Brittany notes that he does this all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is how he plays. That, to me, is immediately an indicator, right? The fact that he has gone nonverbal is another indicator to me.
Mm-hmm.
But let's also put that aside, because many autistic children, in fact, I would say all autistic children, grow up with complex PTSD, mainly because we don't know how to communicate our needs, because we communicate differently. Right. And children already communicate differently than adults. And it's already difficult to communicate your needs as an holistic child to adults. But when you are as an autistic child who is not just communicating as a child, but also as a neurodivergent person who is always going to communicate differently, and your needs are not being met, you stop asking for them.
Yep.
That's why I think he's gone nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has tried to express what he needs, and it has gone unanswered.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that that means that Brittany and Jax are being abusive.
No.
At all. There is no blame here, right? This is a marriage that is going through a lot of stressors and a lot of bullshit all at once.
Though I will say I am kind of annoyed if what Brittany is saying is true, that Jax wouldn't let them stay in the house when the separation happened, and that's why Brittany had to get an Airbnb. That frustrates the fuck out of me in terms of what you're describing, right?
Right.
Because that's just now creating an added stress and right. sort of a, like, you know.
I think many – the stereotype for autistic people when they are – overwhelmed is to go into what we call a meltdown,
mm-hmm.
which is the stereotypical, like, it looks like a temper tantrum,
right?
And that's not what it is at all. A temper tantrum is a child trying to get attention in any way that they can, even if that way is toxic.
Yeah,
that's what that is. A meltdown is when your system is so overwhelmed that you can no longer control your body, and it just, like, explodes, basically. Like, you no longer really, you can't regulate anything. You are dysregulated.
Yeah.
The other way that that manifests is a shutdown, where you go nonverbal, where you go still, where you go quiet, where you just pull into yourself and the rest of the world doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You shut down. I think that's what's happening to Cruz.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. They also, so in this scene, they also kind of talk about, like I mentioned, like some of the marital issues that Brittany mm-hmm. and Jax are having. Brittany makes like a comment like, "Where's my romantic date night that you're supposed to be planning?" And Jax says, "I know, I just didn't realize this bar was going to take up a lot of my time." You're not, like, when we found out that, like, last episode that he hasn't put any money in, it's like, what do you, fuck that, like, go on. And he was just being like, well, I've situated the bar to where it's not going to hurt my marriage, and now he's using the bar as an excuse. That frustrates the fuck out of me. Like I said, Brittany mentions they haven't had sex, only had sex twice in the last year. And they're like, and Brittany's like, yeah, we got to do it more. And Jax goes, I mean, if we're having more kids, so we're going to grow further apart, so we don't want that to happen. So wear a fucking rubber. Like what, like you, yeah. like, you know what I mean? Like, so like,
does it feel as good? I don't give a shit. Does it feel good for you not to have sex? Well, then maybe take what you can get.
Yeah. We go then to Jesse and Michelle by their pool at their house. And Michelle says, Kristen texted her and Kristen texted, I just wanted to assure you that your secrets are safe with me and I don't retaliate for the sake of my mental health. Okay, Kristen.
Part of me is like, I feel like maybe because Kristen.
I believe Kristen rationalized it in her head that it was well-intentioned. But I'm sorry, it comes off like a threat.
Yes, but the reason I say I go down this road is Kristen never brings it up.
Yeah.
Because if Kristen wanted to bring it up, or if she was meaning it to be a threat, Kristen would have brought it up on camera so that, again, everyone was reiterated with, What are these secrets that she's keeping? What are, like, all of these things? Because that would be a more of a reality TV move, right?
Right, but you could argue she did it at the dinner. Like, the protect comment is a version of that. And that's the
sure,
thing.
Sure, maybe.
They talk about it later where it's like, it comes off, she's having, Janet reveals later, she's having these conversations with literally everybody about protecting Michelle and, like, her secrets and all
but
that.
But off camera.
But, like, that doesn't, but then she, but okay, I'm sorry.
But if that's Michelle's issue, is that things are on camera, now she's upset that things are off camera.
But what did Kristen say was the justification for why she said what she said about the racist thing? Was that everyone was having these conversations off camera. And no, everyone was being fake, and so I'm going to bring it on camera. So you're doing the same thing.
But again, she's saying that her intention was to expose Juliet. What's her name?
Who the fuck is Juliet?
What's her name?
Who?
I can't.
Janet?
Think right. Janet. I knew Jesus it was a J. Christ. Sorry. I knew it was a J name. Janet. To expose Janet for lying and creating this story about Michelle. And so I think she thinks she's protecting Michelle by exposing her fake friend Janet.
Here's the thing. I do not believe Kristen is lying. However, I cannot follow her motive. I can
follow it because I understand
how... No, because it changes every time.
I don't think it does. I think there's a through line. But you have to think like Kristen Doty.
I can't.
No. I get that you can't. But like you have to understand how she thinks. When she goes from 1 to 2 to 3, it's different than my 1 to 2 to 3, than your 1 to 2 to 3. It looks completely different to her.
Okay, let's analyze Kristen later. So this gets weird. Jesse then goes, you were really direct and forceful. I loved it. You were like, listen to me. Everybody stop. You had like veins in your neck. Like I was so turned on. And I was like, ew.
That's so nasty.
And then it says in his confessional, if she was that physical in the bedroom, he'd probably have 6 kids by now. Ew.
Fucking disgusting piece of shit.
Like it was so hot that my wife was like fucking like yelling. And it also makes it weirder.
Trauma is sexy.
Right. It also makes it weirder that he was yelling so much last episode and like putting his hand in her face and stuff like that. Because did he think that that was also going to like, did he think that that was going to be sexually appealing to her? Cause it wasn't.
No.
Michelle then goes in her confessional, Jesse and I haven't laughed like this in years. Okay.
Oh God. So you're trauma bonded.
In a twisted way, Kristen's bringing Jesse and I together. But I'm not going to thank her for it. It's like, this is not how to fix your marriage. What the fuck? Like, oh my God. I'm so glad they're not together. Janet is cooking in the kitchen with Jason and they're talking about everything. Janet goes, remember when Kristen said, Michelle, I love you and I'll always protect you. If you were deposing someone and they said something like that, Jason goes, I'd say protect them from what? From you? It's like when Al Capone would go to his shop owner and say, pay me $2,000 a month for protection.
So now Kristen's the mob?
I mean, kind of. She moves like the mob a little bit.
Maybe. I'll entertain the thought.
But then this is where Janet says that like she talked to Brittany about this. And Brittany also shared with Janet. She's like, Kristen, she actually said to me, I can ruin people's lives, but I'm not going to for my own sanity. It's like, again, that's very threatening. It's very threatening.
Yeah.
Janet talks about how she's organizing a gala for this organization called Be the Match, which is helping find, like, it's like the donor stuff for, like, medical care. It's the guy who she's friends with who helps organize it, this guy named Jared Lips, who his life was saved through, like, stem cell donation and all that. He is also friends with Kristen. So Janet goes, Kristen may have known Jared longer, but Jared and I have gotten unbelievably close over the last couple of years. So the last thing I want is any drama to ruin this night. It's like 2 episodes we have like a pseudo like fight over a gay. because Zach is technically a fight over a gay because Brittany was his friend first, and then, but also Kristen's in the middle of all of it. It's Kristen Odie, always the problem. Just kidding. we see Kristen and Luke at their apartment. They're going over what to wear for the gala. Kristen then says, this is where I was like, okay, all right. She says in her confessional, Zach and I were finally able to make up after the Capri night.
Make up!
Off camera, by the way. Because we both realized we were both just pawns in Janet's giant manipulation game.
This is what I'm saying. He's manipulating her.
But, he might be manipulating her, but I don't know if they're not both being manipulated. Because Kristen's been in the game a long fucking time. I'm sorry.
But she is a serial victim of manipulators.
Yeah. But that was so puzzling, though. It was just like, how the fuck are you two friends now? And, like, I don't get it. It just seemed like, to me, like, we made up off camera, right?
Right.
So we could, and then suddenly our story is now the same of, this is Janet's manipulation game, right?
Right.
Right, you know what I mean? And so that tells me you organized, whether Zach convinced her or if it was mutual, whatever. But it's
the thing is that Kristen Doty is not the.
What are you about to say?
Not the person in charge. She is the dog. She is the attack dog, right?
That's probably true.
Zach is the one in charge.
Sure. Kristen says, I think this is where she says, I think she's taking advantage of the fact that most of us are sympathetic to the fact that she's pregnant. But if Janet's being a bitch, I'm going to call out Janet for being a bitch.
Okay.
Janet just feels like one of the sweetest people. I don't know. Kristen goes, tells Luke, I've done therapy twice this week, just over this group of people. And Luke goes, you don't have to tell me twice. I'm ready to get out of this awful city wherever you are. Luke is looking for any excuse to just, like, go to Colorado with me.
There's pot. I mean, there's pot there, too.
Yeah, but I think that would do Kristen wonders, actually, probably.
Honestly.
All the guys are getting ready to head to a fair with their kids and that. And then we get, of course, because this is such a, like, family, like, you know, dad scene. We get the scene of Danny, like, trying to struggle to put the car seat in the car because that's the classic. Like, oh, my God, how do you put a car seat in? And Danny talks about, like, upgrading to, like, minivan life and all that. They're in the car driving and they're talking about the Capri dinner. And Jax goes, talking about Kristen, goes, I don't know how much more I can protect her and have her back. Danny goes, I mean, she says that she's done so much work on herself. Jax goes, what work has she done? Who's her therapist? Because that person needs to be fired. I mean,
I think she needs to sit down with,
I do think she needs a new therapist.
I think she needs to sit down with the guy that was talking to Jesse and
Scott. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That probably would help wonders. Yeah. They go to the fair. They take him to the livestock area. And Jax tells Cruz, this is what mommy calls dad all the time, an ass, because there's a donkey in the.
Well.
not wrong. I mean, and saying it all in public right now. God, Brittany will not be quiet about this Jax thing.
Honestly, good for her.
I mean, yeah, I don't mind it.
But her chief complaint is that he's been out here embarrassing her for years.
Right. She deserves to get her lick back.
Yeah. Fuck it. I'll just expose it all. I'll mention it all.
Jax asks Jesse, how did therapy go? Jesse goes, right now it's bad. And then he goes, he's like, don't touch her. Don't make comments about her ass. Because she said that she was uncomfortable when I said how hot she was.
What?
When did he say that?
That's not what. Okay.
Was like, is he intentionally just making this up?
I think so. Yeah, maybe, but it might also just be that his brain is so soaked in dumb, dumb man juice that he doesn't understand.
Jax goes, she doesn't like you giving her compliments. Jesse goes, we're so far past the compliment stage that when she feels, when I say it, they're fake. She feels that way because of what you said in the therapy session about it being trans. Like you did that. You did that.
Right. Again, she's not a vending machine.
Jax in his confessional talks about how it's like the opposite foot or whatever, which is interesting that Brittany's the one wanting sex a lot and Jax isn't willing to give it.
Yeah.
There might be a reason why for that, but I really hope it's not true, but I've heard the rumor of it. Jax takes responsibility in his confessional though for not being romantic with Brittany enough and that she deserves that. Jax says she deserves to have a man to be loving to her, which he kind of said it without any like joke or any like sort of like,
yeah,
you know, but like, which I was like, oh, okay. Danny, oh my God, God bless Danny, that sweet, sweet fucking man, tries to explain them. Have you heard of this thing called love languages? Like, like until you know what the other person needs, like are you needs, you know, you may never be showing them the love that they are desiring. And Jax goes, is that like you go to a therapist or you get that at like a CVS? Like, or like something like, I don't know what he meant by that. Like,
I think he means like it's a quiz in a, like a Teen Vogue or something.
Oh my God. Yeah, Danny is literally trying to be like, guys, like, dude. And Danny does this a lot because Luke mentions in the date dinner later that like Danny suggested like marriage prep or whatever, like the marriage classes or whatever. And so like Danny really is like, guys, I'm so happy. This is how you can be so happy. And Jax is like, nah.
Effort? What's that? Never heard of her.
Jesse goes, Michelle used to show up in a trench coat and I would tie her up and pour like hot wax on her back. I don't need to know that.
But honestly, that tracks.
I don't see that. That doesn't really track for Michelle to me.
No, but it tracks for him.
Oh, 1,000%. Maybe again. No, I'm not going to say that. That's bad. That's too bad. No, forget I mentioned anything. Jesse goes, now I can't even get a candle into my house without getting that. Like, that doesn't smell right. Okay. Oof. Danny goes, life changes, man, but you just got to figure it out. And then Jack says, I don't want it to change. I wanted sex 3-4 times a day, and now I'm like, did we do it this month? But I don't, again, this is where I'm like, Jack hasn't fully grown up. I don't want life to change. Sorry, it fucking does. Like,
yeah, I don't get it.
Kristen and Luke go on a dinner date, and I love that they are like, Luke's like, I'm so excited to go to this place, and they're walking by Sir because the restaurant is right by it, and she goes, not this place.
I cackled.
I really think she was like, I'm kind of banned from here, actually.
She wouldn't get past the front door. They have her picture up by in the host stand.
Yeah. They're eating oysters, and they're talking, because obviously with oysters, it's like the aphrodisiac thing.
Right.
Kristen, her confessional, goes, my friends can talk all they want about how Luke and I have only been together for 15 minutes and they're in long marriages, blah, blah, blah. They are threatened by a really hot, giant penis 32-year-old.
Okay.
This is one of the perks of a 32-year-old boyfriend, libido. I'm like, we get it, you fuck. It's like every episode, Kristen's like, but we fuck great. She really, I like Luke, but she is in the dickmatized phase for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can see it in her eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah. But that does worry me if like the process is then like having a baby, like if that's the goal, right?
Right.
As this date is happening, Luke apparently had called Danny to organize so Danny and Brittany would be able to get into their apartment to set up this like special after hours thing where they do rose petals and candles and they get a massage table for them.
This was wild.
Yeah.
They got in here, set up these candles, and lit them.
Well, that, yes.
And they left the dogs out.
The dogs were just on the couch. I'm like, that's... And the dogs were already knocking over stuff.
One of the dogs has a big, floofy, waggy tail.
Yeah. And there's lit candles on the floor.
That is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. It's like massive fire hazard. I guarantee you production, because clearly the camera was there. It's like the production wouldn't let that happen, but still.
I guess, but still.
Luke tells Kristen, you know, when we have a family and we're ready to move, like when we're in your head is like the best landing spot. Kristen goes, look, California is important to me. I can't leave California tomorrow or next year or the year after that. Like I've moved 3 times in like a year and a half. I can't do it anymore. And Luke's like, okay. Kristen says to her confessional, I'm not married to living in L.A., and I know that for Luke, that's a non-negotiable. And then cuts to Luke going, no part of me wants to be moved to L.A.
I don't blame him. It's too expensive, well, number one.
He says that. He's like, I mean, a 3-year-old's preschool tuition at a private school is like what I paid for college tuition. So, like,
yeah,
I can't do that. Sorry.
Well, I mean, for example, the house that that James on Vanderpump Rules just bought.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said he put like 1.6 into that house.
Probably.
That same house here would be $250,000.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous out there. Absolutely not. Plus the taxes, the property taxes are wild. No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Danny and Brittany are getting like all the stuff set up at their apartment. And Brittany goes, this is the kind of stuff I want Jax to do for me. He has no romantic bone in his body. It's like, oh my God. Like, Brittany is really just like a fountain of this. It was just like, oh my God, Jax is just like real terrible to me. And I'm like,
I mean,
I get it, but it's just, I can understand, even though Jax is the worst, that like that can be like. And the fact that Jax and Brittany are still doing their podcast together, and she'll say this shit to his fucking face on the podcast, and Jax just has to be like, okay, it's kind of cringy. Yeah, Luke is worried about finances, though, and Kristen literally goes, look, I'm the biggest worry wart, you know? That is something I never worry about. I just know that I got it. I was also like, what is Kristen's job again?
What do you do professionally?
I remember she had the t-shirt line, but like...
Quickly.
But like, that is not sustainable to me. I don't know. Yeah. So everyone then is heading out to the gala the next morning. So they're in the car. Janet and Jason are in with Jax and Brittany. And Janet's like, so like, Jason, like, what's the budget for like donating for the auction and all that? And
wouldn't that be something you'd love to discuss off camera, well, not like, in front of people?
Well, Janet and Jason handle it well. Jason's like, yeah, like, I think it's like 2000. Jax goes, oh yeah, Brittany, let's talk about that. Brittany goes, I'll spend my money, you spend your money. Jack says, we have a child that has to go to school now. Can we keep it to just like 2,000? You just bought like two purses like, you know, a couple weeks ago. Like, Jax is very, for someone who is not, again, not putting any money into this bar. What are you so worried about?
I just feel like, I feel like Jax and Brittany didn't even broach this subject off camera.
Yeah.
I feel, who was the other couple?
Janet and Jason.
Janet and Jason had this conversation at home.
Yeah.
And then brought it up on camera to have this conversation again.
Because it's normal. And then, and then of course, Jax and Brittany are just like, oh, well, Jax is like, oh, yeah, another thing I can be mad about. Okay, Michelle and Jesse arrive, and Jesse's jacket arrives. Holy fucking shit. This is like the sleaziest goddamn look I've ever seen in my life.
This man is so extra.
Zach in his confessional goes, Jesse's jacket looks like he's walking into a bar in Miami in the 80s and is about to snort a line of cocaine the length of the bar.
Honestly,
he probably
yeah.
already did.
Honestly, the way he reacts later, yeah, there's something in there other than just oxygen.
Yeah. Kristen arrives. She goes up to Zach. Zach's like, where's Luke? And Kristen goes, Jill is like super, super sick. She has diarrhea, one of their dogs. She's like, I just got the new apartment, so I don't want to ruin it again. Jax goes in his confessional, Luke, I think, is looking for ways out, meaning ways out of functions where he's going to lose his mind. Which, by the way, like, again, every time I think Luke has been justified in the arguments, and like, again, Jax, I think, just makes up narratives in his head about things that are just like not like.
I really wish Luke was here, though, for this. For the apology at the end of the episode.
Yes, I also still think
that, I think he would have made it go sideways, but I think it would have been good for Michelle to hear from Luke. No, I was on this phone call too. She is not making anything up. That is what he told her.
Well, I feel like he kind of said that at the dinner. And
but it got lost.
I think everyone is so committed. We'll get to it in the last conversation. Everyone is so committed to
right.
not believing what they're literally being told to their face.
Yeah.
Like by multiple people. They all sit at their tables. Zach is at Jesse and Michelle's table, and he talks to them and goes, so real quick, I know she was throwing me under the bus the entire time. I also didn't ever take time to apologize to you. By proxy, it is my fault, and I am sorry for that. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is where it's like he says words that I don't understand the meaning to, and I'm just like, what?
Right, but he's... Do you get what's happening, though?
No, explain it.
So he is Kristen's best friend right now.
Right.
Even though Brittany brought him into the group, kind of, I think.
What? Yeah, whatever.
But he knows that Kristen is on the outs with a lot of these people. So he's trying to get connections in with the group to maintain his longevity
and
then get rid of Kristen.
Oh, you think get rid of Kristen? I think like he was trying
I think it's less about actively trying to get rid of Kristen and more going, well, if it's me or Kristen, it's going to be me. I'm going to be sticking around, not her.
I guess. But he's also not weird. Whatever. Michelle then says her, because Michelle was like, okay. Michelle then says her confessional, I'm sure there was some sort of conversation that happened between Janet, Jasmine, and Zach, but they never brought it up. They didn't tell it to everybody. Fine, I guess. Even though I still wouldn't like that conversation to happen. And I think you literally said at the dinner that I guarantee you they weren't talking about me. And now you're saying there was probably a conversation. But then when you get to the last scene, which we'll talk about, then you've completely forgotten what you said here. It's weird.
Yeah.
Zach goes, I just want to move forward from it all. So if you just want to maybe talk to her and say, listen, I don't want to say I forgive you. I'm just willing to move past this. I know you want an apology, and I feel like she's willing to give you one. Again, I think she gave multiple, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Nia asked about like how the nightcap went at Kristen and Luke's. And she's like, did you get a massage? And Kristen goes, I mean, we used the massage table. I didn't get a massage. I was ovulating. Nia makes the point to say, remember, lay flat, no legs up. I guess that's a better way to get pregnant or whatever.
Yeah.
Science. Oh my God. So the table with Jesse and Michelle are asking, so what is your love story? Tell us about your love story. Jesse goes, we had an office meeting. Cause I guess they worked in the same like company or whatever. We had an office meeting and I'm like, why don't we meet for coffee? Michelle then goes, we were supposed to have a date that night. And I was like, let's just meet. So I know you're not crazy. He talks so much. He didn't ask me one word. And then Zach goes, kind of sounds like now. And Jesse pulls a face like, you don't fucking like, but true though.
Honestly,
she goes, I said, okay, I'm not going to take him seriously and just have fun with him. And then I texted him at midnight, come over right now. And then she describes her confessional. I knew he was not the one, but I was very attracted to him. I canceled our first date, ended up partying with my girlfriends, getting super drunk, and I wanted a booty call. Now I'm in the world's longest booty call. This is why you shouldn't have gotten married and had a kid.
Wild. Like,
I knew he was not the one.
Not, I didn't think he was the one.
Interesting phrasing.
It's interesting phrasing. I'm just saying.
Zach asks Luke and Michelle, like, do you want to have a chat with Kristen? And I think Jesse's like, once my margarita comes, then we can have the conversation. I'm like, you should have had it before the margarita.
Honestly.
And whatever else.
I think it was more the snow that made this messy.
Can we? So also they're on like the top of like the steps of this like building waiting for like Zach and Kristen to come over. Jesse goes, are you cold? And Michelle goes, yeah. And then Jesse is wearing a suit jacket with a long sleeve shirt. Michelle acknowledges to him.
Damn, Michelle, I can't control the weather.
Honestly. Michelle tells him, let's just try to relax and just let her speak. And Jesse goes, no, I'm plenty relaxed. Okay.
You seem it.
Can you get more? Kristen and Zach walk up. The face they cut to Kristen as she walks up, it really, to me, was the equivalent of the, hey, how you doing? Kristen grabs like Michelle by the arms and goes, I love you very, very much. And I know how harmful words can be when they're put on you when it's not true. I said something that I shouldn't have repeated. And Michelle then goes, and I think that's why we're upset, because you keep saying the word repeated and everybody is denying that comment.
But not because you literally just had a conversation with Zach where he said, yes, I'm part of this conversation. Yes, it was something that I said to her that she took and whatever.
Yeah, I was like, I was feeling gaslit. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What? Didn't you? We just saw. Mm-hmm. And your confession. What?
Now, to be fair, the confessional took place after the fact.
But that's crazier.
Still, yeah.
You know what I mean? Kristen goes, well, we just had a conversation. And then I don't even know why this was the trigger. Kristen then goes, Jasmine. And then Jesse goes, oh my fucking God. And like out of nowhere. And then just storms off into the building. And he's like pacing around the building in like different rooms and stuff like
yelling this. To himself in hallways.
Weird.
This man is on something.
It's crazy. Kristen goes, I apologize to you. I'm re-apologizing to you. That's all I wanted you to know. I just want you to know that I'm sorry. You don't have to accept it. It's okay. And like, okay.
Like, I felt like this was extremely mature of Kristen to go, you know what? You don't even have to accept the apology. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing and apologizing to you because I owe that to you.
Yeah.
And you are allowed to feel how you feel about that.
Right. You really hated this part, and I understand why. Michelle.
I have a rant planned.
Okay. We'll try to. Michelle goes, I do need space. I meant it, you know, and we're trying to figure out how to forgive and forget. Kristen goes, it's up to you. I know that you believe that I'm sorry. I know that you know. Michelle then goes, I believe that you need some help. And I was like, wow, okay. And then Kristen goes, I've been going to therapy for 9 years, so yeah. And I'm like, I don't even know if Kristen, in the rewatch, I don't even know if Kristen took it, because I think Kristen's heard it forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just, again, I hate the, like, you need mental help as like a jab. And it felt like a jab, right? It was just so unnecessary to say that. I was like, ooh, Michelle. I was going to give you the benefit of the doubt like last episode, but now I'm like, ooh.
I literally got to the point where I was overheating and had to get up and leave the room.
Right. Yeah.
Because, look, I'm not going to go into details, right? But I've recently been through a situation where I called something out. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that there is a difference here. Kristen called out a rumor in order to be messy. Fine. I called someone out for saying something that was fucked up and was directly hurtful to me.
Yeah.
I then got turned on by people that I deeply trusted and then got told that it was my mental health was the issue.
Yeah.
And I was gaslit and told that I was crazy and told that I needed to get help. And this triggered the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And Kristen is a better person than me, because she's stuck in this group and keeps fighting for it. And it's...
The thing is, there
are still at least a couple people that were in that friend group that may or may not still listen to this podcast. And to those people, I say, I love you. I hope that you have amazing things in your future. But if you need a shoulder to cry on, if you need someone to talk to when shit goes wrong in your life, call on Jesus. Don't call on me.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I think with Michelle...
That's what Kristen should have done.
Well, sure. And I think the thing is, like, this in the same way she was like, you have to admit that you lied at the party, right? Like when she had said that part, I think that is in a combination with this, in terms of like, the only way I'm going to get out of people when they watch this season viewing me as a racist, right, is I need to then sell out somebody and make them seem crazy and make them seem,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I have to make them be viewed as a lunatic who makes stuff up in their head.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can get out of it. And that is really fucking, to use that tactic is really fucking gross. It is arguably just as gross, if not more gross, than what you are frustrated with Kristen for doing in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Because you're frustrated that Kristen was backed against the wall, and so she threw all of you under the bus, which I agree, you didn't do anything to her, seemingly. So she took her anger from Jax out onto innocent people.
Well, and the thing is that Kristen made a momentary lapse of judgment, right? You are now making a concerted plan to manipulate, gaslight, and make this girl think she's crazy.
Yeah.
That is narcissist bullshit. And I don't think it's coming from Michelle. I think it's coming from Jesse.
Oh, yeah. I learned it from watching you. Very. I think so.
Like, and you can tell by the way that Jesse keeps wanting to jump in here and control this fight.
Yeah. Well, and it's actually so weird that that was what happened, too. Michelle makes a comment in her confessional, like, I can coexist with Kristen, but that's as far as it's going to go. Jesse then returns, right, after he had his fucking, like, rage fit or whatever. Kristen apologizes to him. Jesse then goes, let me ask you a question. Is it worth it to continue to do this shit over and over again? And Kristen goes, to do what? Jesse goes, to make comments and get involved and in the middle of things. I was very stressed out. I'm sure you were too. I know some of the things I said to you were very hurtful, and I apologize for that. And I apologize to Luke as well. But just don't be in the middle of anything, and I think we'll be fine. I thought it was like what you're saying about, like, I do agree that Michelle, like, took that from Jesse, I feel. But
I feel like this apology, or this whatever the fuck this was, because it wasn't really an apology.
Yeah.
It is just to make him look good.
Right. It's
to make him look reasonable.
Well, because it's so uncharacteristic, right?
Right.
And so, like, that, I agree that it's fake, but I find it weird that Michelle was the one to do his tactic and he went the opposite route of what I'm interested in the strategy of that.
It's less a strategy on his part and more of a, she has learned these strategies from him. Here's the problem. A lot of narcissists don't know that they're doing this shit.
Yeah.
That is just the way they move. And I don't think maybe Jesse knows that he does this shit, but I don't think he does. And I don't think Michelle knows that she has picked up this toxicity from him.
Right.
I don't think she's a narcissist. I think he is. But I think she has, as a trauma response,
mm-hmm.
has picked up his mannerisms and his way of dealing with things,
yeah,
in order to relate to him, in order to make him like her.
Well, and because of how toxic, like, them being like, oh, we're finally in love because we scream. It was like, that's a good point. Like, there is a weird, they're bonding in, like, the grossest way possible.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really, and they kind of just leave their separate ways, and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, that was the valley. It left my head a little bit spinning the whole episode too.
Yeah.
I'm still not fully in tune with, like, what's happening, to the point where I kind of want to move on from this storyline.
I mean,
it was good for what it gave us, but, like, I kind of want to move on to something else.
Like, I either need it to be hashed out and finished, or I need it to be dropped.
Yeah.
One or the other. Like, we can't keep rehashing the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Ugh. All right. On to better and lighter things. Let's talk about tops and bottoms for the week. We got Villa. We got Vanderpump Rules. We got The Valley. What you think, babe?
I'm going to give my top to Grace over on Vanderpump Villa because I just loved her bluntness. I really...
Yeah.
And it was someone who I didn't expect, because she was so quiet before.
Yeah.
And here she was just like, no, fuck Marciano. You can go fuck off to fucking hell. And it was just, like, satisfying as fuck to have someone just be so crisp in there, just, like, dragging up someone. It was really fantastic stuff. My bottom, I got to give to Lala over on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
I'm just so disappointed. It's so utterly disappointing. And even, like, the Ariana stuff hurts a lot. But also, I've noticed I'm very defensive of Katie lately.
Yeah.
And so, like, when she just kind of is just like, whatever, Katie, get over it. It's just, there's something that's just so cruel about it, because you know what, like, Katie's hangups are. You were able to diagnose the issue with Katie last season. You were able to sort of, like, hold Schwartz accountable and Sandoval in turn and all that. And it's just like, wow. Like, you just, that, I can't imagine what would warrant something like that.
Mm.
It doesn't, like, look, and the complaint of just like, oh, well, she's so negative all the time. Like, I can't, like, baby her. I'm sorry. Like I would be able to baby Katie in terms of, like, this stuff, because I would naturally want to be there for this person who is being shit on fucking constantly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I Lala frustrates the hell out of me. What about you, babe? What are your tops and bottoms?
So my tops and bottoms come with special bonus content. So we're going to start with my bottom. I'm going to give my dishonorable mention to Michelle, because she is actively the one that is doing, saying, weaponizing this shit against Kristen. And she is actively the one that is gaslighting Kristen and turning this about her mental health and calling her a crazy person, telling, still like towing the line of, you made this up. Nobody said this. You are just full of shit.
Yeah.
But I have to give my actual bottom placement to Jesse.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, I think he's the source of all that. I think he's the source of all the toxicity. I think he is, you know, either directly or indirectly trained Michelle in that behavior, and is honestly driving this treatment of Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
There's, for me, there's no forgiveness for this sort of shit.
Yeah.
Because this messes with your psyche. This can literally put someone in a psychiatric hospital. And when you've had a history like Kristen, where she has struggled with her mental health, you don't fuck with that.
Yeah.
You don't go anywhere near her mental health. You don't do that, because you could be what puts her in danger. You could be what causes a spiral. Like, that's not okay. And it's very not okay to play around with that shit. That pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah, I agree.
My honorable mention for the week is Kristen, because she has stood fast. She is saying, this is what I did wrong. I will own up to that. But I am not backing down on the fact that this did not come from me.
Mm-hmm.
This was told to me. I repeated it. And I will not be gaslit by you. I will not deal with that. I'm not doing it. Good on her. But my actual top for the week is Katie. Because I just love seeing her happy. Finally, after all of this time under Schwartz's foot, she's finally free to just be who she is. And it's really nice to see that after she's gone through that for so long, that she can rediscover that joy. And we can really just see her like living her best life. And I don't know, that's inspiring. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.